talked about.
You gotta put it in perspective.
Let's put that theme on and kick it in like this.
If you don't mind, I will begin at the beginning.
It's a new day. Let's get going.
1, 2, 3.
Bad boy!
4, 5, 6.
V.I.G.
Adrena, what do you think about the cap and trade system? Adrena, what's your take on healthcare reform? Is it true that you're anti-Semitic?
You guys, you do hell. I hate you, Psycho Mike. Psycho Mike, I hope you die, you asshole.
I'm just not used to any time where you're not talking.
Your face.
When can we get jiggy with it?
Yeah, it's impressive. Yeah, it's historic. And at this point, it's also ridiculous.
Is there a difference between the Democrats and the Nazis? I can't see it. Listen up, pinheads. Go drive your electric cars into the ocean. I hope you hit a whale on your way to France.
Don't bogart that joint, my friend. Pass it over to me.
Did anybody see Sarah Palin coming?
Don't bogart that joint, my friend. Pass it over to me.
Good stuff, good stuff.
Roll another one.
ShamWow holds 20 times its weight in
just like the other one.
I'm an entertainer, and I miss
this
my audience.
Seems to be about to quit.
I have no idea what either one of us
and
should
I
say.
Another
hit. It's our time to shine. 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 It's our time to shine.
Let's shine.
Young people don't know anything.
Roll another one.
Ugh, what a sucker Kevin is.
Just like
the accepted vernacular is gay.
I am so bored.
I'm sorry.
Did I pass out from the pain in my penis and suddenly we're not in America anymore?
Pour some sugar on me.
Just pass it around.
Do you think you could identify a genital wart?
Oh, that's it. I left Big Boy for this. Oh, no.
And now.
Oh, my God! Oh, my God! Oh, my God! Make him a throwback! Oh, my God! 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 Hey, listen to me.
Our feature presentation.
Very excited. Very excited.
Clearly.
How about the Friday, Kevin and Bean, What to Do Nephew? You can give us a call right now. Get on the air in a minute at 1-800-520-1067 because that's what we do every day at this time. Very disturbing. I watch the KNBC Channel 4 news in Los Angeles in the mornings right before we start our show. Mm-hmm. And one of the first stories they were doing today was about Dr. Drew's stalker being arrested.
Right? Oh, yeah.
And two points on that. Dr. Drew, folks who don't recognize the name, is, well, how can you not recognize the name if you live in the 21st century world?
Right.
Because he's everywhere all the time, always. But he's the host of Loveline. He had this crazy alleged stalker who they arrested yesterday. Two things about the story, though. One is they also mentioned that he was stalking Bean from the very popular Kevin and Bean show.
Sure.
And every time they do that on television, they show lots of good close-up video of Kevin, which – I got to tell you, is disturbing and an insult to both men, if you want my opinion. So there's lots of Kevin on the TV, Kevin in the studio, Kevin interviewing people on the street, a lot of Kevin while they're talking about it. And the other thing is, and I was thinking
about this last night.
They don't
have the travel budget to make that story work the way it should.
I don't know. You'd think there might be one file photo somewhere. But the other thing, and I wrote about this on a blog entry on KevinBean.com last night, which is, I can't understand why anyone would stalk Dr. Drew because it's almost impossible to get away from Dr. Drew. Don't
That's
you stalk people because you're trying to get closer to him because you don't see him enough,
sure,
because you want a connection? If you tried to avoid Dr. Drew, you couldn't do it. He's on every TV show. He's in every magazine. He's on every internet website. He's on every radio station in America. Bad choice, alleged stalker. Bad choice.
Legally, he has to stay 200 yards away from me. Because I was tired of
Dr. Drew.
I mean, you could almost make it a game with your friends. You can go the longest without accidentally coming across Dr. Drew. Because when you think about it, he's on every news show. He's on Access Hollywood talking about some, you know, Andy Dick or something, and then he'll be talking about a different rehab star on Nightline, and then you'll see him on the Today Show, and then he's on with Larry King. But even that, I mean, they put him on Family Guy. They put him on, you know, he interviews the people who get evicted from Big Brother. He does that. He has all those VH1 rehab shows, the Celebrity Rehab and the Sober House and stuff. He has the teen pregnancy show on MTV. I mean, you can't get away from the dude. Why stalk him? He's already in your house.
Well, what do you want to happen? You want him to focus on you more?
No. I'm out of this picture. Yeah, okay. I prefer they stop, you know, putting your face up there. But
me too.
I think you stalk someone who's mysterious and off the beaten path. You stalk a person who you don't see or hear much from because.
So you have guidelines for stalking that this guy wasn't following?
Yeah, absolutely. He stalked the wrong dude. That's what I'm saying.
We talk to a lot of crazy people. A lot. Most of them funny and harmless. This right. guy did not seem like either of those. So that was. I'm
glad. Really scary, crazy.
I am glad he's gone.
Yeah.
So anyway, I'm complaining about stalking today.
Okay. All right. Good. Those are good tips.
Thank you.
All right. Let's get started with your phone calls. 1-800-520-1067.
We're sorry. You must first dial 0 or 1.
What it do? What it do? What it do?
What it do, nephew?
So what it do?
What it do, nephew?
Well, what it do is a 4-pack of tickets to Session 1 of the Pac-10 Men's Basketball Tournament. It's almost here. March 10th at the Staples Center is where you're going to be to see lots of great college basketball. 1-800-520-1067. Why don't we start with, let's start with Bill. He's on line 6, calling about a movie that many people are very excited about opening in theaters today. Hi, Bill. Welcome to the show. What it do?
Hey, what it do, nephew? What it do, baby boo?
What it do?
What's going on?
Hey, yeah, what the movie last night, the midnight showing for the new...
Alice in Wonderland?
And sitting down about 3 seats from me was a grown man wearing zebra-striped footed pajamas to the movie.
Bean, you were there?
That was my first thought.
It might have been him.
Well, I mean, it's a midnight movie. Maybe he just wanted to be able to drive home and jump right into bed.
Yeah, because it's so tough to put on pajamas.
Yeah,
he's too tired.
Any way you can, but man had a full beard.
Yeah,
not right.
That's a look at me, dude.
You think so, really?
Yeah.
That did not have occurred to me.
It didn't occur to you that maybe that's just a look at me move.
Not even a little bit.
The guy's wearing pajamas, B.
I see that more and more every year. I see people wearing pajamas in public. Usually it's girls. Usually you see girls out in pajamas. I don't see as many guys, but I never would have. That never would have occurred to me.
I don't see anyone out in pajamas ever.
I don't either.
Not at all ever. And where people are.
Yeah, that's really bizarre.
Okay.
All right. Hey.
How was the movie, by the way?
Oops, sorry, I already put him on hold.
Real
hey,
good.
Bill, what?
Yeah, I enjoyed it. It was very good.
All right.
Okay.
Good. Glad to hear.
You were distracted by the pedophile next to you?
Miss Cleo puts up a note for us that she goes to late night movies in pajamas all the time, by the way.
Okay.
I've seen it quite a bit.
I know you
have.
All right,
let's try, why don't we try, weak calls today. Let's try Michelle. Michelle's on line 5 on the Kevin and Bean Show. Hey, Michelle. Thanks for calling. What'd it do?
What'd it do, Kevin and Bean? What'd it do, Lisa May?
What'd it do?
What's going on?
Okay, something happened to me so gross the other day, and the first thought was I have to call Kevin and Bean.
Oh, good.
I live in apartments. I go to my garage, and yep, I was hit by a phantom pooper.
Oh, in the garage?
Yes.
Of your house?
Yeah, I live in apartments.
An apartment complex.
Oh, apartments, okay.
So I've been here like a little less than a year, but
so it probably wasn't anyone that lived there. It must have been somebody that was visiting. Otherwise, if you live there, you could go up to your place.
Right.
I don't know. It was just
unless you
gross.
Had the fear.
Yeah.
It was just disgusting. Like I said, when I first walked out there, my kids, I was like, "Oh my god!" And I was like, "Yeah, it's a dog." And then after a while, I was like, "I'm not gonna lie." I was like, "That's just gross."
Well, let me ask you this, because I'm trying to visualize where how your apartment is situated. Though, is it the type of thing that maybe somebody was walking down the street, couldn't get any place else, and just wanted to slip away and hide from the traffic and people, and it was kind of a safe place
oh,
for
no.
them?
Oh, no. Where it was,
unloading zone?
I live in a gated community, so, I mean,
oh, okay.
you have to actually be inside the gated, you know, gates to be where get to the garages. And
all right.
It was actually, like, right by the door. So and
yeah, that's bad times.
That's guy who knows what he's doing.
Yeah, exactly.
Which is not
all
good.
Right. A little gift. Thank you very much for the call. Appreciate that.
You should bring a little plastic bag with you. You know, like you do for your dog.
Just in case.
I'm just saying. Let's go to James. Hi, James.
What it do? What it do? Crazy Shamu.
What it do?
What it do?
Hey, how about some great Chileans? I think I'm going to
they're just incredible with the minimal help they've needed with this catastrophe in that country.
Yeah, they do seem to have been set up a little better, you know, than Haiti was. I think it's a matter of having a little money.
Yeah, they had some money, and they had a previous earthquake that they, you know, got them to prepare for this much better. But yeah, they said they're about ready to be a first world country.
That is awesome, and I will vote for them, and I will root for them in the next Olympics.
Okay.
I wondered how you were going to vote.
Yeah.
Okay. Vote for Chile.
I guess so, I got to change my citizenship.
Well, not to vote. I mean, to vote technically, yeah, but not if they're in the Olympics or whatever. But
they're in South America, so you probably don't even need to do that to vote.
Sure. Yeah.
By the way, here's what's awesome about America, though. And America has a very long history of giving help to whoever they want, friend or enemy. But within a couple of days of the Chilean earthquake, our Secretary of State, Mrs. Clinton, was down there and meeting with the president. And saying, look, we're here for you. If there's anything we can do, please let us know. It's kind of cool that they declined the offer because we don't really have it to spare right now with everything that's going on. But we certainly would be there as a nation to help Chile if they needed it. So yeah. It's good times all around. By the way, thank you very much for the call. The aftershocks that they're having in Chile. I mean, the one yesterday, what was it, Lisa? It was like a 6.9 or something?
Yeah, it's crazy. They've had hundreds and hundreds of them, and they're not small.
I mean, a 6.9 is one of the biggest earthquakes you'll ever feel in your life. Yeah, that's an aftershock and nowhere near as big as the original quake that caused all the damage. So it's crazy times down there in Chile.
Don't make us send Sean Penn. We will.
I'm surprised he's not already there.
Let's talk about today's Kevin and Bean Show, shall we?
Hey, everyone. Kevin's going to give us his take on the situation. Let's listen up.
We have an announcement about Sublime with Rome. They're playing someplace close. We're going to give away some tickets.
Okay.
We have Movie Beat, as it is Friday. We have Jimmy Kimmel on the program today.
Yeah!
Awesome.
Jimmy has an Oscar special that comes on, of course, after the Oscars. And his specials are always fantastic.
Yeah,
so I'm looking forward to that. Andrew Siciliano, one of our friends, sportscaster, who was in Chile, by the way, when the earthquake hit. And I'm blaming him. I think it's his fault that it all happened. Hopefully we're going to get Doto. That is a... Doto's like a three-month process. Any day it could come through. Most of the time it doesn't. But you just keep trying day after
We're
day.
Hopeful.
After day after day.
It's like waiting for the cable guy is what it's like, waiting for Doto. You know, in the big picture, it's sometime between 8 a.m. and 6 p.m.
Right.
And right now, it's around 10:30. So we don't know. Could he be here? Yeah, I guess technically he could walk through the door. Is it more likely that he'll come at the end of the day? Yes.
April Foolishness, we have tickets for you.
Mm-hmm.
Tickets go on sale tomorrow, of course. And Mr. Skin will join us with his Anatomy Awards.
Best human ever.
Best human ever. So that's coming up. We'll take a quick break and come back with Ralph Showbiz Beat.
This is the Kevin and Bean Show on a Friday. I want to thank everybody in the Kevin and Bean Nation who bought tickets for the April Foolishness concert yesterday, April 3rd at the Gibson Amphitheater. Jimmy Kimmel, Jay Moore, Joe Rogan, Aziz Ansari, Sarah Silverman, Jeffrey Ross, Kevin Smith, Bill Burr, Adam Carolla, Jimmy Kimmel Live's house band, Cleto and the Cleetones. It was a pre-sale yesterday and apparently sold very well. Lots of people got their tickets, but there are still seats available and you can get them when they go on sale tomorrow at noon. That's for the general public. I can't imagine why you wouldn't be in the street team, by the way, and get a chance to buy them early. But if you missed it, if you were remiss, tomorrow at noon, buy your tickets. It will sell out. It is a great event for charity. All the details at kevinandbean.com. Is that Dick Cheney or Ralph Garman I hear in the studio now?
Don't forget the high-priced fancy pants deal, too, which is just means more money for the charities and cooler stuff for you. You get backstage parking. You get a meet and greet with those of us here on the show before the comedy starts. You get special pit tickets right up front there in front of the comedians, which is not always a good thing, especially with Carolla and Kimmel. You do not want to be in proximity when they start unleashing their noxious gases. But for the rest of the lineup, it should be pretty cool. But we'll be selling those on Saturday as well.
That's right. Fantastic. All right, time for the Showbiz Beat. Here's Ralph.
Well, Sean Penn has a few choice words for our man, Kevin.
Oh, interesting.
Yeah. About time Sean Penn started talking back at Kevin, who
Kevin was already making fun of Sean Penn this morning, that he might be going to Chile to try to save more lives. That's Kevin's against that.
Yeah. Kevin likes people to die, and Sean Penn's trying to save lives. Not and that's all. Where that's where they have a major disagreement. But Sean was back in Los Angeles. He had a fundraiser Monday for Haiti relief. Stars like Barbara Streisand, Jack Nicholson, Salma Hayek, Matthew McConaughey, and President Bill Clinton were in attendance.
Wow. Now, are you against that also, Kevin, that he's doing a fundraiser to raise money? Is that an appropriate use of his celebrity or no?
Of course, that's fine.
You guys know. Kevin's all for that.
He just can't go and actually help while he's in Haiti. There was a CBS interviewer who asked Sean while I was in town this week about those who say that his relief efforts in Haiti, especially his hands-on efforts, are just a cynical ploy to raise his profile and get publicity. Kevin. Sean Penn responded, I guess I've been away from it all in our tent camp in Haiti, and I guess I haven't had an awful lot of time to pay attention to these people. He said, but do I hope that these people die screaming of rectal cancer? Yeah.
Did he say that?
Yes, he said that.
Wow.
So that's what he has for you, Kevin.
All right.
Screaming rectal cancer. And I hope you enjoy that in your future.
That's an awesome band name.
Band, yeah.
Screaming rectal cancer?
Yeah.
Linda Lohan. In the news, apparently she has relocated to London, as she's been threatening for some time now, and she's found new people to party with.
Great.
The British tabloid The Sun has photos of her partying with Boy George at a local nightclub.
Oh, no.
My God.
Yeah, girl Lindsay and Boy George hanging out, just being bad influences on each other. So just a matter of time before George Michael joins the threesome and they all pass out behind a car in the middle of traffic in London, I'm sure. Speaking of Lilo, Britney Spears had a conversation with Lindsay, had a phone conversation with her the other day, and Britney's dad went ballistic. He was incensed that, you know, he's still handling her affairs. He's incensed that the people surrounding Britney would allow her to talk to Lindsay Lohan because he finds her such a bad influence on his daughter.
Does he have control over who she talks to on the phone even?
Well,
I thought it was just, you know, her money.
Finances, no, he keeps a pretty tight rein on her overall. Wow. Yeah, he controls almost every aspect of her life these days. So he talked to Britney's management and the people surrounding her and gave strict instructions to keep Lindsay as far away from Britney as possible. One friend of Britney says that she's been humiliated by her dad's behavior, but she understands he's simply trying to protect her, so she's not too angry. But another hostile celebrity in the news, Khloe Kardashian.
Uh-oh.
Says she's a little protective of husband Lamar Odom. By the way, have you seen the Kardashians since Khloe married Lamar?
Mm-mm.
If you watch the Kardashian show on E, he pops up from time to time because he is her husband, and I find it endlessly entertaining that they have to subtitle Lamar when he speaks on the show.
Oh, that's great.
Yeah, he does mumble a bit.
They actually run subtitles underneath his stuff as if he's speaking another language. It's magic.
That show is so crazy. I don't watch it either. That show is so unbelievably popular. You know, the season finale of The Kardashians a couple weeks ago was the highest rated show in the history of E! Entertainment Television.
There you go.
Wow. I did not know that.
I do watch because, well,
Kim.
And the family's just a train wreck that's almost hard to avert your eyes from. But this Scott Disick, this baby mama, baby daddy of Courtney, is the biggest dick on the planet.
He really is
an unrelenting douchebag.
Good man.
It's almost like a character. It's like if you hired Spencer Pratt to play a douchebag.
Yeah.
If you turned up the amp. I mean, we give Spencer a hard time on the show, but Disick crushes him in douchebaggery. It's fantastic. Anyway, Khloe says about Lamar Odom that she tries to be an easygoing person, understand that her husband has fans, but if a gal has nerve to disrespect her and get too close to Lamar, she would have no problem beating their ass.
Yes!
And she could easily do it.
She could.
That's just a heads up for you ladies who are thinking about making a move on Lamar Odom.
Ladies or men, you want his autograph? She'll beat you down.
That would be ill-advised. And John Cusack's got a new girlfriend.
Right.
According to Life and Style magazine, Cusack is going out with Baywatch, former star, and she was also on Melrose Place last season, Brooke Burns.
Oh, yeah.
Good call.
Atta boy.
Nice work, John Cusack.
He's never been married, has he?
No, he's not. He has been.
I was just thinking, you don't hear much about his romantic life at all.
Mm-hmm. Oh, he
does okay.
Is he a player?
He's a legendary swordsman. Yeah, he does a good job.
I hear fantastic things about Hot Tub Time Machine from those who have seen it
earlier. Oh, I can't wait.
Fantastic things.
So great.
Looks funny.
Can't wait.
Well, Craig Wilson's in it, Lisa. I know one of your favorites.
I love Craig Wilson.
Craig Wilson! And My Chemical Romance is looking for a new drummer. Guitarist Frank Iero wrote on his blog that Bob Breyer, former drummer of the band, left the band about a month ago. Frank didn't give a reason for Bob's departure, but he says the rest of the group wishes him well in his future endeavors. However, they are looking for a new drummer, so...
Ralph?
See you guys. Sorry. Duty calls, you know?
You're going to break up Melfon to go with My Chemical Romance?
Look, Melfon's been struggling now for some time. A lot of infighting in Melfon.
We're taking a break. That's all. We're just taking a break. It's best if we give it to
White Man.
There.
What? We.
Excuse me. I'm your theremin player.
I've never heard it once.
Nor have I.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. You have to actually had played an instrument in order to be in the band.
I'm saving it for our live performance.
They've all been live performances so far, by the way.
We haven't recorded.
Those are rehearsals. The stuff we do on the air is just rehearsals. I'll tell you, when we do our first paid gig, you know, that's when I'm going to bring up the thing.
When you're going to show up when there's money?
That's right. Absolutely. I'm a busy man.
Today's celebrity birthdays. Singer Eddie Grant is 62 years old today. We're going to have to get a little Electric Avenue, I think, going today.
I think I might.
What? You have Electric Avenue?
Don't count on.
All right, I'm going to keep doing other birthdays, see if you can find some Electric Avenue, okay? Magician, comedian Penn Jillette celebrates his 55th birthday. Singer John Frusciante of the Red Hot Chili Peppers celebrates his 40th birthday. Happy birthday! Rome of Sublime, Rome, is 40 years old today. Actor Kevin Connolly from Entourage turns 36. Actress Eva Mendes is 35 years old, as is supermodel Nikki Taylor.
Oh, ooh.
And we have some Eddie Grant. We're gonna rock. Come on! To
Electric Avenue. And then we'll take it higher.
Oh, Eddie.
Oh, we're gonna rock down to Electric Avenue. And then we'll take it higher.
Oh, poetry. Poetry, the lyrics. We're gonna rock and then we're gonna take it higher. Awesome. Wonder what Eddie Grant's up to today. Let's find out what Eddie Grant's up
Let's
to
not.
And see what's in his fridge.
We have to call Tone Look first, and then we'll call Eddie Grant.
We're getting a long list of has-beens to talk to on this show. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the show business.
106.7 K-Rock is K-R-O-Q, and it is 19 minutes after 6 o'clock.
And now, it's time for A Moment with Kevin.
We're that's having us.
Oh, we are.
Critic.
Oh, I thought Oprah was. So,
we have quite a week going.
I mean, no, that's par for the Of course. I got it. Par for the course.
For us. It was almost par for the cake there. For
that was A Moment with Kevin.
That's good. That's good stuff right there. You are listening to the Kevin and Bean Show on a Friday. Great program for you today. Ralph will be here with the Movie Beat, of course. Mr. Jimmy Kimmel is on the program today. We also have more tickets you can win for the Kevin and Bean April Foolishness Show. First, though, ladies and gentlemen, greatest human on earth, time to talk to our friend Mr. Skin. Now, of course, the Academy Awards are this Sunday. See that on ABC Live starting at 5. But the Mr. Skin 11th Annual Anatomy Awards are on an internet near you. Go to MrSkin.com to play along. Let's welcome Mr. Skin back to the Kevin Bean Show. How are you, my friend?
Doing great, guys. You know, I can't believe it's been 11 years of doing the Anatomy Awards. It seems like, you know, only yesterday I saw my first nip slip. So, yeah, I know. I can't believe 11 years of doing this. It's unbelievable.
Wow. Mr. Skin, before we get to some of your fantastic categories to talk about this year's winners, we were just talking off the air, and I had this question I wanted to ask you. A lot of times movie reviewers, once they get famous enough, they start finding themselves in situations where they meet the people whose movies they are reviewing.
Mm-hmm.
Have you ever had any bad experiences where you've been on a television show or something and you've run across maybe one of the actresses you've had on the site and she has not been very receptive to you?
Well, there's been a lot of times I've been in rooms or at events or places where celebrities are, but one thing, I'm not like the kind of guy that would go up to a celebrity and say, "Hey, I'm Mr. Skin." You know, I would never do that. So they don't really know what I look like or who I am, so they usually stay away. But I did do, I had a producer email me yesterday that two of his movies won Anatomy Awards, and he was so excited about it. So, you know, I think that, you know, I don't know if an actress that would win, like, best nude scene on glass, breasts on glass, is going to be, like, super excited she won. But
hey, I'm so excited that you put that picture of me with my boobs on the glass. That was great.
That coffee table made my boobs look really interesting.
Do you ever hear from them in any other way? Do they ever
email
you and go, "Hey, would you mind? I don't want to. That wasn't my best."
You know what? Not from big names, but I'll occasionally get, like, the very obscure actresses who, like, search their name at Google and, like, they're kind of bummed out that now they're like school teachers and they did a movie in the 80s and they wish it didn't exist, but you know.
On the other hand, you ever get people that want to be skin-volved?
Oh yeah.
That they say, "Hey,
actresses that call us up and say, "Hey, you know, I got a new movie coming out where I'm going to be nude. I wanted to get you all the information."
There you go. Oh, that's awesome. All right. Well, you're a very busy guy today. I know you have limited time. We're not going to have time to go through all the categories because there are so many. But would you mind if Kevin and I just threw out some of our favorites and we could discuss?
Yeah.
Okay. Best underwear scene is a great category that I think should be on the real Oscars and isn't. Who wins this year?
Yeah, that was Kourtney Kardashian and Kourtney and Khloe Take Miami. And there, as you guys know, there were a ton of choices for this. But I just think she's so hot of the three sisters. She's my favorite, and she had a scene where she was walking around in a black brawn panty thong thing that was pretty ridiculous. So that was our favorite underwear scene of the year.
So you don't even have to have a movie in theaters to win the Anatomy Award. It can be on television too, right?
Yeah, it's anything that aired in 2009 on TV or movies. Yeah, because, you know, as you guys know, TV's become such, there's such great nudity on television.
Yeah.
I couldn't do this and not talk about TV because there's great stuff on television.
Let's talk about the best breastfeeding scene. I know that's not supposed to be sexy at all.
No, I know, Lisa, I know it's not supposed to be sexy, and it isn't, but I'm just saying, let's get his take
on
it.
Hey, you know what? The winner's Heather Graham in The Hangover. And,
there you go.
Heather is in her late 30s, and those golden grams have never looked better. So I love that. I love the scene, and I think it's great that she did a fun nude scene.
Do you have any scenes that involve women making out with dogs, Mr. Skin?
Oh, yes. It just so happens.
What?
For this year, for the first time ever, our best making out with a Rottweiler scene, Asia Argento in Go-Go Tales. And it is the wildest thing you ever saw. She's up on stage dancing, and all of a sudden she turns around and kisses a Rottweiler. It's pretty wild.
How about this? Here's another way that the Mr. Skin Anatomy Awards are different from the actual Oscars. You actually have an award for the best over 40 nude scene. Who won that this year?
Well, this year is Anne Heche and Spread, which is also Spread won my breast picture, which is the mainstream movie with that goes above and beyond the call of nudity that has the most skin. So I'll tell you what, Anne Heche looks amazing. Very sexy scene with Ashton Kutcher. But I'll tell you what, I think the all-time greatest over 40 nude scene would have to be Marissa Tomei in Before the Devil Knows You're Dead.
Oh, yeah.
Yes.
For the
rest. Yes.
That's amazing.
So
that's like the benchmark. This is great, but I still think Marissa Tomei is the all-time over 40 nude scene winner.
Now, some of your categories do cross over, and they are actual Academy Award categories. Like, for example, Best Nude Water Skiing Scene.
Yeah, that was won by Willa Ford in Friday the 13th. She was on Dancing with the Stars, so she has some celebrity. And, it's great. She's water skiing topless. My favorite nude water skiing scene this year.
Wow. Heavy competition in that one.
We are talking about the 11th Annual Anatomy Awards with our friend Mr. Skin. You can go to MrSkin.com. And by the way, for a buck a day, it really is the best website that you can subscribe to. Let's talk about some of the famous offspring of other famous actresses who have appeared nude, because you've got a category for best offspring from a daughter and from a mother and from a father, right?
Yeah, so we have best new daughter of a famous mother, and that's Eva Amore, and who's the daughter of Susan Sarandon. Eva Amore, of course, doing great nudity in Californication. Anyone who saw that nude scene would say that she's a nip off the old block.
Hey! Hey!
How do you do it?
Her breasts. Obviously, her mom has incredible breasts. She does, too. So that was just an amazing nude scene from Californication this year. But we also have a best nude daughter of a famous father.
Yes.
And Katie Cassidy was nude in a movie called Live. People might know her from Harper's Island or Melrose Place.
Oh, we know her. We had her in.
Oh, yeah. She's gorgeous.
She's unbelievable. Gorgeous.
Her dad is David Cassidy.
Right.
Yeah, that is so cool. And, come on, get happy. She did a great nude
scene. She's impressive. I got to tell you.
All right, let's talk about a couple more categories. They were out of time with Mr. Skin. Of course, Best Boobs has to be the one that most people would be interested in. Who's the actress you selected this year for the Anatomy Awards?
We chose Alice Eve from Crossing Over, a Ray Liotta Harrison Ford flick, and all natural, great breasts. But here's a cool thing, guys. There's a movie coming out next week called She's Out of My League that's looking like a real funny film. She's the hot babe that's out of their league. So she's so she's going to be getting a lot of press. You'll be seeing the commercials, and she'll be doing interviews. And you'll be, it'll be kind of cool to know you could go see this great nude scene at MrSkin.com.
She, by the way, is shockingly beautiful. I've seen the trailer a couple times for that movie, and you look at that and go, that kid, she's not real, right? And I guess that's the premise of the movie, is that she's with this super, dorky guy that there's no way. All right, and one more, because I thought this was so fascinating. This is the attention to detail that Mr. Skin pays. You have an Anatomy Award for a Best Body Double.
Yes. Well, in a show that I love, Eastbound and Down on HBO, Katie Mixon plays the hot girl. Danny McBride's this baseball player that's back teaching. He's like a gym teacher at his old school.
Love that show. Yeah, he thinks he's still the man. He thinks he's still in the
building. Yeah, it's a real funny show. Yeah. Will Ferrell was on a bunch of times. Well, Katie Mixon had a scene towards the end of the season one where she took her top off. It was an obvious body double to us. We knew it was, but so many guys went bananas because they were so excited to see her nude. I was getting all these texts and emails and calls like, hey, is that Katie Mixon? It wasn't, but we wanted to celebrate this, even though we usually hate body doubles.
Sure.
In this case, it was pretty cool, and we're hoping Katie Mixon will do a real nude scene in season two.
And speaking of which, one more for me, and that is, I know that Bean will agree, and Ralph will agree, and Mike will agree, the actress we most want to see nude in 2010.
That would be Christina Hendricks, who plays...
Yeah, she's got to do it. Got to do it.
Yeah, she's got to do a nude scene.
Can we sign a petition, or how does that work?
Do what I have to do. I'll do anything I have to do.
All right.
Check out all of Mr. Skin's 11th Annual Anatomy Awards at MrSkin.com. Great to have you on again, sir. We'll talk again soon. Have a great weekend.
Pleasure. Talk soon, guys.
Thank you, bye.
This is the Kevin and Bean Show. If you like Sublime, definitely stick around. We have a chance for you to win tickets to go see them live in concert coming
right,
up later on today's
Sublime.
Show.
Sublime.
Yeah. Hi, Rodney.
How
are you?
On Rodney and the Rock Show. 6.7, all right.
All right, Rodney. First of all, Rodney, for folks who didn't grow up in Southern California, is a legendary Los Angeles DJ who, Rodney, you claim to have discovered many of the great bands, particularly 80s, bands like the Go-Go's and Van Halen. You were the first to play on the radio ever,
them,
right?
First one.
Right. And you
Bauhaus.
Also, though, Bauhaus, right? You also are a huge fan of comedy, and you have an encyclopedic knowledge of jokes. Is that what I understand?
I know every joke ever written in my mind.
Can we test that out? Because we have tickets for the Kevin and Bean April Foolishness.
But I feel bad because everyone doesn't win then because I'm always better than they are.
Well, that does happen a lot.
Can't stump me.
Well, let's try. Let's give it a shot. It's time for Rodney the Joke Machine.
Ladies and gentlemen, introducing Rodney the Joke Machine. It is Rodney Bingenheimer. He likes to tell a lot of jokes. You would not think that this dude is a really funny guy. You tell him any joke and he will tell you what the punchline is. And that's how he got his nickname, Rodney the Joke Machine.
He's Rodney the Joke Machine, the Joke Machine, he's Rodney.
All right, here's the
boom.
Here's the prize for today. Kevin and Bean's April Foolishness. Tickets go on sale everywhere tomorrow at noon. If you want to join us Saturday, April 3rd at the Gibson Amphitheater in Los Angeles, Jimmy Kimmel, Jay Moore, Joe Rogan, Aziz Ansari, Sarah Silverman, Jeffrey Ross, Adam Carolla, Kevin Smith, Bill Burr, Jimmy Kimmel Live's house band Cleto and the Cletones, proceeds to charity. It's an unbelievable lineup. Do you have a favorite of those since you're a student of comedy, Ronnie?
Katrina and the Waves.
Yeah. Well, they're...
it's a band.
Yeah. They're not on the... they're not playing at all.
Comedians.
Funny.
All right. Well, let's start with our man Leroy. He's on line three calling the Kevin and Bean Show today for Rodney the Joke Machine. Hi, Leroy. Give us your setup, and we'll see if Rodney can finish your joke.
All right. How do you get a one-armed Pollock out of a tree?
Flock of seagulls.
I don't know. We need to check that. Maybe that's one of the possible answers.
Yeah, a flock of seagulls.
That makes sense, actually,
knock
for a change.
Knocking right out of the tree. Yeah.
Is that the answer? Is that the punchline to your joke?
That is not correct, actually.
What is it?
The punchline is, you wave to him.
See? Because he's got one arm.
He's got one arm, and he falls right out of the tree.
You get that, Rodney?
All right. You were able to stump Rodney. Congratulations. You're going to the show. We'll see you on April 3rd, dude.
Awesome. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Right, Sheila E.
There's no question. All right. Let's take Ken on line four for Rodney the Joke Machine. Hi, Ken. Thanks for calling. What's your joke for Rodney?
What did Sushi A say to Sushi B?
Fine young cannibals.
I think this is a punchline we're looking
for. Drives me crazy.
No.
Is that it?
No, that's not correct.
What's the answer?
Wasabi.
Okay.
It's good delivery.
I regret that we have to give you tickets, but we do because you were able to stump Rodney. Well done. Wasabi.
Wow.
Okay. See? Brian is on line five calling us on the Kevin and Bean Show. Rodney, I'm surprised you didn't know that one. It sounds like it's right out of Highlights Magazine.
The fix.
Hey, there's no question.
Oh,
all right, Brian, hi.
Hi. How do you give a blonde a brain transplant?
Blondie.
Yeah.
Yeah, blondie.
Right, a blonde is in the joke, but his question is, how do you give a blonde a brain transplant? That's the answer he's looking for.
Debbie Harry.
She was the singer in Blondie, right? But you're off. Yeah, that's still not what we're looking
for. What's the punchline, Brian?
I'm sorry, that is incorrect. The punchline is blow in her ear.
Oh,
that's a bad joke.
That's a terrible joke.
That's not funny. Do we have to give him tickets? We do, don't we?
Yeah,
I think we do.
Wow.
Yeah.
All right, begrudgingly, you're going to the show.
Wow.
I thought Debbie Harry was the funnier answer. All right, let's try Steven. He's on line six. Trying to give away some tickets for the April Foolishness Show. So far, pretty good luck stumping Rodney, but let's see how Steven does. You're on the air.
Hi, guys.
Hi there.
Hi.
What's your joke?
What do you call a gay dinosaur?
Dinosaur Junior.
Is it Dinosaur Jr.?
No, a Megasaur ass.
See? Rodney, it's a reference to... Oh, never mind.
All right.
English Pete.
Let's take Alfredo, line 8, please. Alfredo, thanks for calling the Kevin and Bean Show. You're on with Rodney the Joke Machine. Go ahead.
What kind of bees produce milk?
Kid Creole and the coconuts.
Rodney, I don't think you're trying. You haven't gotten any of these correct. Is that the right answer, Alfredo?
No, it's boobies.
See? See, Lisa?
Got it.
All right. One more. It's going to be Mike.
Said last time.
Style
Mike is on line 2.
Hi, right, Mike.
Hey, good morning, guys. Hey, Lisa May.
Good morning.
Set up your joke. Try to stump Rodney. Good luck.
All right. The joke is, what is the difference between a fat chick and a hockey puck?
Buster Poindexter.
Is it Buster Poindexter?
That is totally wrong.
Yeah, what is it?
If you absolutely had to, you can eat a hockey puck.
Oh.
Wow!
Wow, indeed.
Wow!
Le Mans.
Rodney, the game's over.
Linda Carlisle?
You didn't get any of them right.
Did I win?
Yes.
Oh, right on.
Bananarama.
Okay.
He's Rodney, the joke machine, the joke machine. He's Rodney.
Of 6.7 K-Rock is KROQ at 649.
Hey, how about Andrew Siciliano from ESPN Sports Radio joining us coming up in a few minutes on the Kevin and Bean Show. Jimmy Kimmel will also be here to talk about his post Academy Awards special, which is on Sunday. Ralph Garman is here right now with the Showbiz Beat. Hey, Ralph.
Speaking of the Oscars and Jimmy Kimmel Live, you know, they're on ABC this year. 5 o'clock, you can check out the Oscars. And then after the local news, Jimmy Kimmel's got a special after the Academy Awards show. And the good people over there at ABC have given me some DVDs to give away.
Huh.
I've got 5 of the 10 nominated best pictures on DVD for you and a special DVD prize pack. If you can answer my trivia question, this year, Up is one of the nominated films for best picture.
Yes!
That's not the question, Kevin. It's an animated movie. And you know, animated films lately have just been spectacular. In fact, they had to add a category to the Academy Awards for Best Animated Film. But Up is just nominated for Best Picture. Only one other animated movie has received this honor. Name the animated movie that has received the other Best Picture nomination.
Grizzly Bear.
Not Grizzly Bear. No. 1-800-520-1067 is the number to call. First person through with the correct answer wins a 5-pack of DVDs of 5 of the 10 nominated movies for Best Picture.
Vibrators.
It's not called Vibrators. That wasn't an animated movie. And if it was, it wouldn't have been nominated for Best Picture.
Speaking of Oscar-worthy films, New Line is relaunching the Police Academy series.
No.
They're going to reboot Police Academy. Woo! No.
Now, those were bad comedies in the
80s. Steve Guttenberg, of course, legendary star of the Police Academy films, played Mahoney, the crazy leader of that crazy group of Academy members.
And there was some dude that made funny sounds.
Yes,
with his,
Michael Winslow.
With his mouth.
That guy.
That was
awesome.
This happened.
Larvell Jones. Bubba Smith is also one of the cast members. Our very own Bobcat Goldthwait joined the cast in the second installment of this series.
Now, they're not getting the gang back together again. They're doing it with all new people, right?
No word on whether any of the original cast members will be making appearances, but they are going to reboot the series with brand new actors.
That's just not good.
No, it's very good. Can't wait. The producer says, it's going to be a new class. We hope to discover new talent and season it with great comedians.
Just a little seasoning.
The seasoning.
Just a little seasoning.
Ralph, every single day this week, you've come in with another story about another reboot of some 60s, 70s, or 80s show or movie. It's just, it's been crazy. Is that all Hollywood's making?
Cannibalism. It's all about cannibalism. Yeah, it's spectacular. Speaking of which, Y5O is being rebooted on the TV. Legendary cop show with Jack Lord. Popular in the 70s, I guess. Alex O'Loughlin is been cast as Steve McGarrett, the head of the 5-0 branch, Hawaii State Police. And they've just named their Dano. You remember Book 'em Dano? You've heard that phrase, right? Book 'em Dano?
Mm-hmm. Sure.
Scott Kahn.
Kahn! Oh. He's got the look.
who is the son, of course, of legendary actor James Caan. He was in Ocean's 11 and 12 and 13. He's playing Danny Dano Williams on the series. So now
he looks just like the guy who played it originally.
James
Very
MacArthur.
Similar look. Yeah. And they got Daniel Day-Kim, of course, playing Chin Ho.
Right, take it easy. Take it easy.
Yeah, Bean's a bit of a Hawaii Five-O fan, so
yeah,
you got to deal with that.
You watch that show again, it does not hold up.
Oh, it's horrible.
It's terrible. It's
I love it.
It's so bad.
It's disgusting.
I've got the first six seasons on DVD. I can't wait for the rest.
We have an answer to my trivia question?
We do.
Let's go to Jose on line three, shall we? Jose? Jose?
Hey, guys. Lisa May, how you doing?
Hello. Good.
What was the name of the other animated film that was nominated for Best Picture?
Beauty and the Beast.
It was Beauty and the Beast.
Yeah!
Congratulations, you're the winner. Hold on, we're going to give you all the details, but you've won a DVD prize pack, five of the nominated films this year.
Appreciate it, guys.
Thanks, man.
Thank you.
Make sure you watch the Oscars on ABC this Sunday at 5 o'clock. Sandra Bullock is nominated for an Oscar. She's up for Best Actress for her performance in The Blind Side. This is the first year ever that an actress is nominated for an Oscar and a Razzie in the same year.
Oh, man.
Razzie, of course, being the Golden Raspberry Award given to the worst performances and worst films of the year.
Right.
Sandra Bullock is nominated for Best Actress in The Blind Side and for Worst Actress in her role in All About Steve.
She earned both of them, I think.
Did you see All About Steve? That was the one with Bradley Cooper?
No, I don't think so.
Where he was a cameraman, a news cameraman, and she follows him around the country.
Oh, no, I didn't see that.
Was mind-bending.
Bad.
Wow.
Yeah.
Of course, my wife had to watch it because it's romantic comedy, and she has some sort of legal obligation to watch every bad romantic comedy ever made.
She signed a deal a long time ago.
So I would be walking out of the room, and I would just stop and look mouth agape because I could not believe how horrific it was.
Yeah.
So she absolutely earned it. She said she's probably going to win, too, because she said if she wins the Razzie, she will show up to the ceremony and accept it.
Is that right?
And apparently no other actor has ever offered that before. So they're thinking she's pretty much a shoo-in to win the Razzie on Saturday and then go to the Oscars on Sunday.
That's funny.
At least she's got a sense of humor about the breadth of her career from worst to best.
She seems like, all around, just a great, great woman.
Yes, she
really
does.
Does
she? Great personality, super talented, super nice, super funny. I mean, there's nothing you can say bad about Sandy Bullock.
Sandy?
Sandy, well,
we call her Sandy.
Sandy. Yeah. Sure, yeah. You know, it's a 3D world we live in. Well, of course, it's a 3D world. But in the movies, too, it's a 3D world.
Now, yeah.
Because Avatar has turned cinema on its ear when it comes to big-budget blockbusters. All of them, almost, are scheduled to be made in 3D the next couple of years, including the Green Lantern. It's just been added to that list. Warner Brothers announced they're changing production on Green Lantern to make it a 3D film.
Now, all of these 3D films also come out in 2D, right? So you can see them in other theaters or whatever?
Yes, yeah. Right, yeah. But the income they get from the 3D screenings is enormous. So,
But I'm going to tell you, Kevin, I think the reason they come out in 3D now is predominantly because there aren't enough movie theaters fitted for 3D to be able to have the kind of wide release that they need. I think eventually they will only be in 3D.
Oh, I see. That makes sense.
I think that's where it's headed.
All he needs are the glasses, though, really, right?
Got me.
I don't think the theater has to be outfitted specially. I think you just need to put the glasses on.
I'm not sure. I'm not sure about that. I have read that there is something different that the theaters have to do. I don't know whether it's with the kind of camera, the kind of projector that they have or something like that. There is some reason why they can't put 3D movies. Like some weekends that are coming up in 2010 where there are two movies that both have 3D prints, they're having a lot of trouble trying to figure out how to get enough screens, for instance. So I think this is a technology that is developing, but I think it's all heading that way for sure.
Lost fans may be disappointed to know that their beloved Jack may not be the married family man they think he might be. Matthew Fox, who plays Jack, of course, on Lost, is in a bit of trouble because he allegedly had an affair with a stripper in Oregon named Stephanie Talbot, who is now talking to In Touch magazine, saying that she met Matthew Fox at the strip club she worked at, and she stopped by the house he was staying in while shooting a film up there, apparently, and had sex with him, unprotected sex, at least twice during his stay there.
All right.
So, causing a little trouble in the Matthew Fox household. Whatever happened when strippers would keep their mouth shut about what you did with them? When did that ever happen?
No kidding. I thought that's part of what you paid him for.
Damn. It's Stephanie with an I, Psycho Mike. He's furiously on the internet trying to find a picture of Stephanie.
Do some research, that's all.
Mm-hmm. No, I.
Just I.
Just I. And fans of Smallville, if you're like me, if you're still watching Smallville and the CW, you'll be happy to know that although it's been on the bubble and some concerns whether it be renewed or not, the network has picked it up for a 10th season.
So all is well in Smallville with Clark Kent and Lois Lane.
It's a long run.
It is a long
run. It's amazing.
Yeah, 10 years they've been doing that.
He's what, 40 now?
I believe Tom Welling is 63 years old. So time for
at some point, he has to be Superman, right? It was funny when you're in high school, but come on.
Well, when they know they're going out, they're going to put him in the costume. That's what's going to happen. Yeah. Let's take a look at today's celebrity birthday, shall we? Actor Jake Lloyd, who played little Anakin Skywalker. Remember when they brought up the new Star Wars movies? He's 21 years old now. How did that happen?
Did he ever act again? Because I know he was widely panned in
that horrible
movie.
Nikki Taylor, the supermodel.
Oh.
Now, is she the palm tree model? Is she the one who was modeling
the
palm tree?
She's the serious car accident one who was asking for a couple years.
I just knew there was a broken pelvis involved in her something.
Her sister died, right? She had like a almost twin sister, a little bit younger, that was a model.
Another
too.
Model, yeah. Yeah.
That's right.
Her sister died of some wacky like asthma medication. I don't know.
Yeah, you're right. I love Nikki Taylor. Beautiful woman.
35 years old today. Speaking of beautiful women, Eva Mendes is 35 years old today. Kevin Connolly of Entourage turns 36. John Frusciante of Red Hot Chili Peppers is 40 years old. Penn Jillette of Gillette and Razor. What's the name of their band?
Penn and Teller.
That's it. Yeah. They're good. I saw them live at the Troupe. Penn is 55 years old today. And singer Eddie Grant celebrates his 62nd.
Electric Avenue. And then we'll take it higher.
Yeah, we'll take it higher. What else are we going to do, Eddie?
There's not a lot of progression in the lyrics.
Keep taking higher. That's all we're going to do. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the show.
106.7 K-Rock is KROQ, and it's 5 minutes after 7 o'clock.
How about a little heads up when the song's going to end there a second, Mike? I was eating.
Yeah, Mike.
All right. I think I'm done. I swallowed.
Wow.
Ladies and gentlemen, you're listening to the Kevin and Bean Show. You know, I lived in San Francisco in October of 1989 when that huge earthquake demolished the city. And then I lived a couple of miles from the epicenter of the Northridge quake in January of 94. And then I lived just a few miles from the epicenter of the Seattle earthquake in February of 2001. What I'm saying is all of those earthquakes combined don't compare to what our next guest lived through just last week, ladies and gentlemen, in Chile. Please welcome ESPN Radio's own that guy, Andrew Siciliano. Hey, Sis, how are you, man?
Hey, guys. It's good to be here.
Hi. I didn't think we'd ever see you again when I heard you were in Chile for that awful event the other day. My God.
I didn't think I was going to be here, to be honest with you.
You went there for vacation.
I did. I went to Argentina for vacation, and my last two nights I ended up in Chile, which was kind of planned. I had a ticket booked out of Santiago. But I went, and it kind of didn't work. It
didn't work out as well because there was a huge earthquake?
An 8.8 earthquake.
I don't know that I've ever heard of one that big.
I hadn't either. I guess it's top five of all time, so I made some kind of list.
Very rare. Yeah. Very, very rare. And I guess the biggest earthquake of all time was also in Chile, right?
I didn't know until it hit that it's one of the top three volcanic countries on Earth. Now I do know. Maybe I'll think about that next time.
Maybe you won't go next time. So this was when? Your last night there?
It was my last night. We were in a town called Valparaiso. It was their big summer party beach week. It's summer down there, obviously, February. And this was their huge summer, everyone go to the beach and party your you-know-what off weekend.
Mm-hmm.
So we went down to the beach from Santiago. It's like a 90-minute drive. It's out on the ocean. It's west of the capital. And had a good time, but the party wasn't as good as I thought it was. So
until
and then they kicked it in high gear.
Normally,
now it's 3:30 in the morning. This thing happens, right?
And that's my point: is that normally down there you're still partying at 4 a.m.
Right?
At 4 a.m. in Argentina, for example, the bars are just getting ramped up. No joke.
I hear you. That's the way it is in Spain as well.
Exactly. Yeah. The party wasn't as good as I thought it was. So at 3 o'clock, I turned in.
Oh, you did? Okay.
I turned in, and at 3:30. It started shaking.
It turned you back out.
It turned me back out. What's the longest earthquake? How long? I wasn't here for Northridge. I moved after. How long did Northridge last?
I don't know. It felt like forever, but okay. I honestly
probably
don't know how long.
20 to 30 seconds,
yeah,
I would imagine.
Yeah, under a minute usually.
This was a minute and a half.
Wow.
As God is my witness. It was 1 minute and 28 seconds
now,
or whatever it was.
Were you asleep?
I was asleep.
Okay.
It woke me up, and I did the dumbest thing in the world. I was kind of in a trance, like a sleepwalking, am I?
And you were drunk, let's admit it.
I might have been tipsy. And I walked to the window. I'm in this little boutique hotel, like 10 rooms, with floor-to-ceiling windows.
That's what they say. God. They say stand next to glass.
Stand next to glass. on the top of a hill overlooking the ocean. Right? You got to go up these long, winding, cobblestone, kind of European-esque in the mountain streets to get up to the hotel. And I'm standing in the window. and I thought it was a thunderstorm at first. I know that sounds absurd, but
no, when you wake up and you're drunk,
look, I was in a trance. Yeah. And because I heard the pounding.
Right.
And
you thought,
and
hey.
If you were here, you'd know earthquake because you're.
Exactly.
I mean, we know that's what that is. But when you're in a foreign country.
I wasn't thinking. And then I felt something. I felt the stuff falling on my head. I said, oh, is the window open? Is there rain coming in? And I put my hand
on
my
hair. I like how long it takes. This probably was all 3 seconds, but it seemed right. like it was an hour, right?
Exactly. It was actually plaster from the ceiling.
Wow.
That was raining down on my head. Mm. Like, now I'm going to take cover. And it went a minute and a half. And the whole time, honestly, the whole time you're just sitting there thinking, please stop. When is this going to stop? Because we're used to a quick 4.0 and it rumbles for 5 minutes. Hey, did the ground move? Was that an earthquake?
Yeah,
no, this was a full. Imagine the freight train coming at you. When the freight train gets into your living room,
right?
It's not a 5-car freight train. It's a 5,000-car freight train. And you're standing there on the tracks as the train is blowing your hair and go whoosh, right by you, thinking, how many cars are in this train? Because it won't go away.
I didn't hear about the train. All I heard about was the earthquake.
No, he's making an analogy.
What?
Andrew, how much damage did your hotel sustain?
And
what a miracle that it didn't fall down into the ocean.
It was a miracle. There was damage all around us. Older buildings. I don't know when my hotel was built, but it's relatively new, and it had little to no damage other than interior damage to the rooms. All the stuff fell off the walls.
That's impressive. 8.8.
Everything. I mean, it looked like a war zone, but the actual structure itself, for the most part, visual inspection did okay, save for the plaster and some ceiling stuff.
Now, here's what I like. I give people a hard time, celebrities that save lives. They always crack me up because it seems like a PR move.
I didn't save
here's
lives.
What I like about Siciliano. First plane out, man. First plane out. See ya.
Planes have not yet gotten out. That's the whole thing. I had a ticket that night, as I said. We didn't know what to do. So in the morning, I found, first of all, ATMs in South America don't always work.
Okay.
Like, if it's a weekend and everyone cleaned it out on Friday, there's no money.
They just don't refill it.
There's no money.
All right.
So it was a miracle, minor miracle the next day that we found an ATM that worked in Valparaiso. And I freaking cleaned it out.
Yeah.
All right. So
$80.
I'm like, I don't know how much cash I'm going to need to get out of the country.
Right.
So I put a wad of Chilean cash in my pocket, and then we schlepped it back through rubble and fire trucks and everything.
Wow.
To get to the bus station, and somehow got on a bus back to Santiago. My goal was, because I had a flight that night at midnight, go to the airport, which I was told was closed, get a hotel room, and just wait it out. It'll be a day.
Wait
right?
till it opens,
be that
right?
Bad.
Right.
So I get
your
off the
second
bus.
Plan was to take the bus up through Mexico and across the border with a coyote.
I would have done it. Right. So I get back to the bus. I get to the bus station in Santiago. It's a madhouse. Thousands of people sleeping on the floor.
Sure.
Chaos. There's police ringing the place to keep order. And I walk right up to a cop and I said, "Is the airport open?" "No." "When's it going to open?" "I don't know." 4 or 5 days. The second floor collapsed into the first
in the airport.
Wow. In the airport.
Is that good?
There goes that idea.
Yeah.
So my buddy and I said, we got to get out of this stinking country. So we bought an overnight bus ticket through the Andes across into Argentina in Mendoza, Argentina, which is on the other side of the hill.
This
so
sounds
speak.
Like, and they were never heard from again, by the way.
And then I had 6 hours to try to arrange flights. So I found an internet cafe. Like, bus stations aren't bad neighborhoods to begin with. Like, 6 blocks away. And these computers were like out of War Games in Matthew Broderick. And they're like power strips and exposed wires hanging from the ceiling. And no ceiling. All the tiles are open. I got online with my brother back in the States, in D.C. And over the span of like an hour, we tried to arrange some flights. I couldn't confirm a seat. My brother called the United 1K desk and tried to. It was just a mess. Over an hour, we finally got me a full fare ticket out of Buenos Aires the next night, but then I had to get there.
So you took a bus there, too?
So I took a bus to Mendoza, literally through the Andes, where there are boulders the size of SUVs that had come off the mountain, and their lanes closed. At times, you have to go on the shoulder. This is on a full moon.
At any point did you think, I will never see civilization
well,
again?
Here's what I thought. If there was another aftershock.
Sure, which happens all the time.
And there were about 50 of them in the first few hours,
right?
There
were 80 of them, and none of them were smaller than a 4. That's the truth. And there were 4 bigger than a 6. I don't. What if boulders start coming down the mountain while we're going through the Andes? Then you walk over the border. into Argentina.
Oh, my God.
And then you go down into Mendoza. Then I got a standby flight back to Buenos Aires.
You should have just made friends with some drug lord and just taken his plane full of cocaine.
Jeez. It was nuts, man. But it was good times. Hey,
This is the voice of Andrew Siciliano from ESPN Radio, by the way, on the show, Kevin and Bean Show, talking about being in Chile for the earthquake. I loved your tweet. By the way, Twitter, for some reason, up and running almost immediately, right, Andrew? You were able to get the word out to your friends and family almost at once.
You know, I don't have a GSM phone, but my phone, which I had simply in my pocket from traveling down there, has Wi-Fi. So the next morning when all the phone lines were down, I hit the streets. I had to get in contact somehow. And I wandered up and down the streets of this town, Valparaiso, until I found someone's Wi-Fi hotspot that I could steal.
Did you loot?
Good for you.
You stole their entire Wi-Fi?
I stole their entire Wi-Fi. And I stood on a street corner among rubble. And once I connected, all my emails started flooding in. And I emailed my parents, emailed my brother.
Did you get a TV?
I did not get a TV. Come on. I thought about it.
It wasn't looting.
You know, I'm just saying.
Have you ever tried to get on a bus with a TV?
No.
I can't say I have. Either. I didn't think I was going to do it.
Okay.
So all right, let me ask Twitter, I was able to tell everyone, yes.
And you've never been happier to be in Houston in your life, which I thought was funny. Well, all right, one more question about this, and then we have to take a break and come back and talk about a bunch of sports stuff with Andrew Siciliano. Many people, when they go through what potentially could have been the event that killed them, it has a profound change on them. Do you feel different having survived one of the biggest earthquakes in the history of the Americas? Will that change your life at all, or are you over it already?
I do feel different. I am not in any way over it. It remains to be seen whether or not it changes my life. There have been two or three moments this week where I have stopped and said, calm down, don't get so angry. You had an 8.8 on Friday night. Whether or not that lasts for more than another week.
You have nightmares?
I don't know. I have had nightmares. Ambien on the flight back is amazing.
Yeah. Ambien, sure.
Yeah. No, I hadn't slept
when
in 2 days.
My car, I had nightmares for 6 months probably, it was all different, but it all included me flipping my car.
No, so not yet, right. But I haven't slept.
I hope that's on the
way. I'll tell you that.
You haven't slept at all?
No, okay. I mean, my body clock is so screwed up. It's an hour here, an hour there, that's it.
Are they blaming you for the earthquake?
No, okay. And you know what? The intention is kind of embarrassing. I'm not saving people. I just got the heck out.
That's what I like. I like that.
Well, we are grateful that you survived, Andrew. I mean, hundreds of people did not who were in the same location you were.
Exactly.
I'm glad to see you again. All right, we'll take a quick break. Andrew is here. We'll return right after this on the Kevin and Bean Show. Jimmy Kimmel joins us next hour talking about his post Academy Awards special. Stick around for that. Also, it's Friday. That means Ralph has the movie beat and a special listener driven edition of The Week in Rage. You get to fill in for Adam Carolla. That's coming up all later on today's Kevin and Bean Show. Right now, our friend Andrew Siciliano is furiously working his BlackBerry right now. He's in studio from ESPN Radio. He's a very busy man. Andrew, how about our Maryland Terrapins beating North Carolina the other day? How about March Madness is practically here?
How about them storming the court, too, huh?
Yes.
I don't mind the storming of the court when you beat Duke and they've beaten you, what, four straight years? I don't mind that at all.
When's the March Madness start?
Conference tournament start early next week. Maybe even some of them this Sunday. And then the conference tournament weekend is next weekend. And then 2 weeks from now will be the NCAA tournament and the Final Four in Indianapolis, first weekend in April.
Are you in agreement, as many sports fans are, that it's the most fun sporting event of the whole calendar year?
You know, the first weekend is nothing but a bunch of dudes calling in sick and going to Vegas.
Yeah.
And, you guys ever been to Vegas that weekend?
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Oh, what a sausage fest.
I have some female friends who are going that weekend and say, it's going to be 900-1.
Yeah.
You'll have your pick, and most of them will have no social skills. They're all sitting there, like, screaming at the butler game in the first round, trying to get a parlay to bring the spread down 2 points.
And they put TVs like up behind the blackjack tables and everywhere. It's crazy.
Now, with that said, it's a lot of fun. I mean, if you like basketball, it's a lot of fun.
If you like dudes.
If you like dudes, and if you like basketball, and if you like your office pool, which is fun, I love the tournament. It's a shame that UCLA is not going to go and USC can't go this year, but I still love the tournament. It's a blast.
My next question was going to be, who do you like from the Pac-10, where many of our listeners are en route, but probably no one really that has a reasonable shot.
This is the worst year the Pac-10 has had that I can remember. The Pac-10 is just awful this year. Washington's not bad. Washington might be able to make some noise, but in the grand scheme of things, the Pac-10 is awful. My alma mater's doing well. They could be the number one overall seed. But other than that, honestly, the tournament's
dead to me. Who's your alma mater?
Syracuse, number one team of the nation, is my alma mater, right? And other than that, the tournament's dead to me. So call me. And if they go to, they might have a game in Spokane. All right. If they go west, I'll go there if anyone can.
You got to hang out with me. Yeah. That'll happen.
All right. While we're talking basketball, you had Charles Barkley. Did you have Charles Barkley on your radio show this week? Is that where he made the comments about the Cavs, or were you just quoting him from another source where
no.
he was talking about?
Okay. That was TNT last night when he was ripping Skip Bayless, ripping the Cavs, and then ripping Steve Nash's outfit from the Suns.
That was funny, by the way, making fun of Steve Nash's outfit. But so what's the deal with Shaquille O'Neal? Gone for the year or
Shaquille?
Just for...
He's got a busted thumb. He had surgery on Monday. The word is he's 6 to 8 weeks. They think he might be back for the second round.
Wait, for a busted thumb?
6 to 8 weeks surgery, broken thumb. Yeah. So,
I'm sorry for... He's not really a pure shooter, first of all. Right?
You need an opposable thumb to grip the basketball, right?
You can play defense.
You could, but it's a shooting hand to begin with.
All right.
Right?
Kobe breaks a finger and still scores 35.
But he actually has skills with his hands.
Right.
Right.
But Shaq's got size. He just needs to play defense.
I understand that. But I don't know. They said 6 to 8 weeks.
Please, what a wuss.
So he's going to miss the first round in all likelihood. They're fine for the first round. The question is, will he be back to face potentially the Magic in the Eastern Conference
Finals? I'd hate for his thumb to hurt too much.
And then potentially the Lakers in the finals if both teams get there. If they don't have Shaq, there's no way they beat the Magic. There's no way they beat... Maybe they beat the Magic, but they don't beat the Lakers, if that's
right,
what it is.
My question was, because I haven't been paying as much attention to Cleveland this year as I did last year.
Sure.
Has Shaquille O'Neal been as effective as they hoped when they signed him? Because he was supposed to be the missing piece of the puzzle so that LeBron's not out there all by himself. Has that panned out?
The last couple of months, yes. The first month, no. It was an absolute disaster. Not a disaster in like they were, 0-20 or something, but they didn't yet know how to work together. Now they do. He's not scoring 30 a game. It's not that Shaq.
No, not at all. No, that's not what they need from him.
No, not at all. They need him to go up against Bynum or Powell or Dwight Howard or all
those
guys.
You can't do that with a hurt thumb. What a wuss.
I think he probably... You have a good point there.
I've always hated him. I have. And I'm a Laker fan, but he doesn't shoot free throws. He doesn't try. He's just a wuss.
So you want to admit you're biased?
I am biased.
Okay.
Yes, I am biased. When he went to the Suns, my family's from there, and I said to my mom, get excited at the beginning, it'll be good, but then he'll start, not showing up for practice, and then blah, 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 get traded.
Exactly. Don't you want to see him and Bynum, though, throw elbows at each other in the finals? You don't want to see that?
I wouldn't mind that.
I would love to see that.
But he's got a hurt thumb.
I know that.
How do you expect him to play?
I don't know. He has 9 fingers, though. I'm sure he'll find a way.
All the other guys in the NBA can have, like, a leg missing, and somehow they're still out there on the court.
Now, that would be
cool. You have to remember that the elderly heal much differently than young people, okay? Keep that in mind.
He's pushing 50. I mean, come on.
When we come back, we want to talk about the headline heard round the world, which was made on Andrew's show this week involving the world of boxing. Also, we haven't had a chance to talk to you, Andrew, since the Tiger Woods press conference, too. I want to get into some of that and what the caddy was talking about yesterday and so much more. ESPN Radio's Andrew Siciliano is here. We'll take a break more with him after this on the Kevin and Bean Show. We got free tickets for you to go see Sublime featuring Rome coming up in about 20 minutes on the Kevin and Bean Show. Ralph will be along with Von Only the Showbiz Beat with the Movie Beat because it's Friday, and Jimmy Kimmel next hour. Andrew Siciliano from ESPN Radio is in studio with us. So much going on in the world of sports. Of course, we can't afford a sports guy on our show, Andrew, so we're always happy when you're able to join us. What do you make of the crazy Chad Ochocinco being on Dancing with the Stars as an active NFL player? That's how he's spending his offseason. How's that grab you?
He got permission from his team. I love it. I don't know if you guys have met Chad at all. Chad is everything you see about Chad is 1,000,000% legitimate.
Is that right?
1,000,000%. And he'll
so
make
he crazy.
He's crazy, but he's crazy like a fox. And people say, you're a distraction, you're this and you're that. He makes a really good point. He said, I don't drink.
Right.
You've never seen me arrested.
Right.
I've never beat anyone.
Yet.
Right? I'm not yet. Right? I'm not the bad guy. I might be an attention
whore. Sure. Yeah.
Right? But I'm not a bad guy. Now, the problem with Chad is his play as he ages and as he loses his speed is slowly, slowly, slowly eroding. He's not the guy he was a couple of years ago.
Right.
He's a good football player. But give him credit, because when he went to the Super Bowl and did that OCNN, Ochocinco News Network thing, he got every major network in America to follow him around.
Yeah,
he made his own news the entire week. He is a marketing genius.
What is his life going to be like in the NFL after going on Dancing with the Stars?
Oh, no one cares anymore.
Oh, are you kidding? Fellow athletes?
Warren Sapp.
Fellow athletes. He's still playing, though.
Did you see when Jerry Rice did it?
I don't watch that show.
But he was retired also.
He's retired.
I realize that he's Jerry Rice, but I don't think anyone is going to care.
His teammates.
I don't think.
I would never let him forget it. I would mention it 100 times a day.
First off, the Bengals are a halfway house for ex-cons. All right? That's
true.
They brought in Pac-Man last week to kick the tires, and they also brought in Matt Jones, the former Jaguar wide receiver, who's got heroin arrests. They're a halfway house.
All right.
So him doing Dancing with the Stars least is the probably a breath of fresh air for that team. And Aaron Andrews is on too.
Yes, she is.
Yeah, well, there's a good reason to watch, right?
And Nicole Scherzinger, too. The only thing about Chad Ochocinco is ever since he changed his name to that ridiculous, stupid moniker, all I could think of, he hate me. That's the only thing that comes to mind. I have such. Remember he hate me? I mean, from the XFL?
Yeah.
And he actually got a cup of coffee in the NFL, I think, after the XFL folded after what? I think it lasted 10 minutes, right?
Something like that.
Chad's still a good football player, but the name is stupid.
All right. Tiger Woods. What did you think of the press conference? What do you think of his will he return to golf this year? What's your read on how sincere he is with trying to rebuild his life? What's going on with him in your mind, Mr. Siciliano?
I think he'll be back by Augusta. I think he'll play the Masters. I think he may even get in an event before the Masters. And if I have to hear one more public debate on whether or not he was sincere, why does anyone care that he was sincere?
I don't know.
Why is it so important that we need to figure out if there's a level of sincerity in his press conference? He played the public game. The game is stand up there, say you're sorry, get the heck out.
Right.
Does it matter if he's sincere?
I'm out because he's a golfer.
But
I think people who care about golf, maybe they care because, I don't know. Hell if I know.
The addiction specialists are going to hate. Dr. Drew's going to hate me on this one. But sex addiction? How about he's addicted to road tail?
Right. Listen.
Okay.
A lot of
sex
money.
Sex addiction.
A lot of time on the road.
Right.
Yeah.
He's got a lot of money. He's in a lot of hotel rooms. He's Tiger Woods. He's a rock star. He could point.
Yes.
All right. I've never been there.
I doubt
I ever will.
You won't.
All right.
I can tell you now.
But I can imagine that if you're there, it's a pretty cool place to be. Now, granted, if you're married to two kids at home, maybe it isn't. I don't care if he's sincere. He's going to come back. He's going to win golf tournaments, right?
That means
the advertisers will be back, too.
Eventually, but it's not going to be overnight.
Let's talk boxing. Floyd Mayweather.
Yes.
One of the best boxers of our generation.
Or of any generation.
Of any generation, yeah. Retired, coming back now.
Mm-hmm.
You had him on the show.
Yeah.
Why did you make him mad?
We ticked him off pretty good. He's promoting his May 1 fight with Shane Mosley. Good fight.
It's going to be a good fight.
Great fight. Shane's kind of, going to be 39. The fight should have happened 10 years ago. But everyone wants to see Floyd and Pacquiao. That's the fight that fell apart.
The only thing people in boxing care about.
It fell apart. For those who don't know, it fell apart because some people think Pacquiao's on something. All right. Especially Mayweather's dad. Mayweather's crazy old man.
Mayweather's
thinks
dad is crazy.
He's absolutely crazy. So Floyd, because a lot of people think Floyd is ducking Pacquiao.
Okay.
All right. He hates the attention. He's jealous of Pacquiao's attention. He thinks he's better. Why is this guy getting so much attention? This little Filipino karaoke singer. All right. Why is he getting the attention?
Those of you that haven't seen Pacquiao fight, he is a force of nature.
Yes,
that
absolutely.
Is the size of Gary Coleman.
Yes. he's smaller than me.
He's really tiny.
He's smaller than me. He started his career at 108.
Wow.
Right? Unbelievable. Okay.
Yes. And that's why people think he might have been on something. Regardless, the fight fell apart because of an argument over how they do the steroid testing. So we move on. So we had Floyd in studio yesterday, and we did the normal Floyd, hey, it's cool you're here. We did 10 minutes about the fight and this and that. And then he started getting defensive. He's a defensive fighter, granted. And he said that he's the greatest of all time.
The greatest boxer of all time.
The quote, and I'm paraphrasing, is, I'm the greatest to ever lace on a pair of gloves. And we followed up. The natural follow-up is, better than Ali?
Muhammad Ali, right.
And he said, yes. And I said, really? Better than Ali? He said, yes, yes. I'll say it two times.
Did you follow up with, are you talking about Muhammad Ali?
I followed up with, have you ever said that to Ali? I don't need to say that to Ali. If he were here, Floyd, would you say that to Ali? I don't need to. I said, but if he was here, would you say to the old man that you're better than him?
By the way, that's different because he could still think it, but maybe you wouldn't say it to his face out of respect.
Aren't they boastful that way? Isn't that just what they do?
That's
well, guys like Muhammad Ali and Floyd Mayweather,
yes. But Muhammad Ali was right when he said it, though.
Yes.
Exactly. He was the greatest of all time.
Then he kept getting angrier and angrier, and we have to ask the question, hey, if you beat Shane, are you going to go back to Pacquiao?
Of course.
We ever get back to the Pacquiao fight? That's what people want to see.
Because that's the only fight people want to
see. That is a fair and legitimate question.
Right.
He hates Manny Pacquiao. I mean, you could
because
see
Because of the
it.
Attention?
He just, everything, it seethes
through him.
Okay.
And he wouldn't look me in the eye at that point. He's staring at the ceiling. I tried to lighten the mood by cracking a joke because my partner, Michael Thompson, was in Miami with the Lakers. So I said, hey, he's there. I got to sit here with you. So he's ticking you off, and, you know, I'm the one that might get hit.
Right.
Didn't laugh. And then we
he was really honestly angry about you asking about the Pacquiao fight.
I cannot describe to you the anger on this man's face. He was staring at the ceiling to the point, I mean, he was, and his entourage of 40 was pretty ticked off too. And you want to know why boxers don't have any money left? Because they're paying 40 guys to follow them around. Each with a video camera, granted.
Sure. I don't want to make him that mad. Decide to go on record right now.
That's hey. Would have made for a good show.
Yes, it
so would've. When he walked out the door, I didn't see it. I was still on the air, but I'm told that he dropped enough bombs in the hallway on the way out the door.
Just cursing the whole way out.
He carpet bombed the hallway on the way out the door. Absolutely. Well, it wasn't my goal. I'm not taking pride in taking him off. A question about Pacquiao is not that out there.
Not only is not that out there, he should expect it every single time somebody interviews him because that's the fight people want to see.
And first off, the legitimate, if and when you beat Shane and go to 41-0 in your career.
Right, which is unbelievable.
If and when you beat Shane, will you reopen discussions with Pacquiao is a fair question.
It's absolutely necessary. You don't ask that, you're lame.
Absolutely.
That's awesome.
We had Shane on earlier in the day. Shane was willing to talk about his Balco past, his link to HGH and performance-enhancing drugs. Shane's a classy, put-together guy who's done TV work who can handle questions.
Yeah.
Floyd just seethed.
Floyd seems like he surrounds himself with yes people, and he doesn't really ever get his feet put to the fire. You know what I mean? Like, he strikes me as one of those guys.
That's what boxers do. That's how you surround yourself. Ali did that, too. Well, Ali was controlled in many ways by the Nation of
Islam.
But
he wasn't counting on your right left. He didn't know you had a game.
but Ali could also spar back with you
a little bit better. Yeah, true.
Ali sparred, and granted, I didn't cover Ali when he was still with it. Granted, I'm far too young, but Floyd just got angry. I mean, you've seen Floyd with Brian Kenny on TV before. That's pretty legendary, those confrontations.
Yeah, he's something. But he's an amazing fighter as well, so I can't.
But the good news is, for your last interview ever with Floyd Mayweather, it was memorable.
it was very, very memorable. Ray J was part of his posse.
What?
Ray J was in there, too.
Ray J, for those of you who don't recognize the name, was the other person in the sex video with Kim Kardashian.
Which explains why everyone had a video camera when they walked into the station yesterday.
Sure.
I felt like saying, I've seen some of your work, but I don't want to admit it publicly.
If you are lucky enough to be listening in Southern California, please check out Andrew Siciliano weekdays from 11 till 3 on ESPN 710 AM. Andrew, always great to catch up with you, my friend. Thanks a lot for coming on the Kevin Beach Show.
Thanks for having me.
Where's that bee? Where's that bee girl? Where is she?
I miss the bee girl.
I miss the bee girl, too.
106.7 K-Rock is K-R-O-Q at 7:53.
You are listening to The Kevin and Bean Show. We got some live music from Sublime featuring Rome coming up next on The Kevin and Bean Show, recorded right here live in our studio. And Kevin, we're looking for Sublime fans right now, right?
We are, yes. We're going to give away some tickets. You have to win a game. It's called Omaroki. We apologize for that in advance, but if you'd like to win those tickets, play the game. Give us a call at 1-800-520-1067.
That's my favorite game we play.
Is it really?
It's the best game you
painful.
Have.
It's painful. That's painful,
not painful,
Ralph.
It's the best.
That's what I meant.
Wildly entertaining.
That's what I meant. It's the best.
I love it.
You're welcome.
Thank you. Omar sings the Sublime songs. You have to try to identify them because his versions have no relation whatsoever to the original. Bradley Knoll sounds better today singing Sublime songs than our own Omar.
Wow.
And that's saying something. All right. Time for the showbiz beat right now, and then Ralph will be back with the movie beat in about 25 minutes. But what's going on?
ABC has announced they've picked up yet another season of their summer reality show, True Beauty. This is where just being beautiful isn't enough. You have to be beautiful on the inside, too.
I remember this one.
Yes.
Yeah.
I didn't see this one.
Vanessa Minnillo was the host. Remember, they would get a bunch of models who thought they were all that, and then they would put them in moral situations, like they'd have a stunt lady fall in front of them with a bag of groceries and see if they would stop and help her pick up the groceries.
They weren't in on it? They didn't know?
It was hidden camera. It was a hidden camera gig. And then at the end they'd say, yes, you're beautiful, but look at this. And they'd show them the footage and you're ugly on the inside. You have to go. And they would award the person who was most beautiful on the inside and the outside with the grand prize at the end of the season.
All right.
So they're bringing that back.
Good times.
They're changing it up a little bit, though. Carson Kressley, one of the gay dudes from Queer Eye for the Straight Guy.
Oh, Carson, yeah.
And Beth Ostrowski, Howard Stern's wife, will be the other host judge on that show. But if you're a model and you show up and you see Vanessa Minnillo there, don't you get it?
Yeah,
don't
you go, whoa,
I'm not pretty on the inside. I'm leaving now. I mean, don't you pretty much figure out that show?
Yeah.
More TV news. Martha Stewart is getting her own reality show.
Yes. I mean, no, I don't care.
Brought to us by your buddy Mark Burnett, producer of Survivor.
Yeah.
It's called Help Me, Martha.
Nope.
Oh, and boy. People who have disasters in their lives, excuse me, will have Martha Stewart step in and fix their problems.
Nope.
Come on.
Nope.
What if you have a wedding disaster you need help with? She'll come and help you put your wedding on.
No! No!
Well, how about Mark Burnett's other idea? A reality show featuring Sarah Palin.
No way!
Doing what?
Showing you life in her home state of Alaska?
No.
Come on. Don't you want to see her wearing a parka talking to Alaskans?
No.
Yeah, all right.
I could never hear her again. I'd be fine.
Yeah, I'm with you.
Get used to it, dude. You know she's running for president in 2012.
I'm not sure about that.
I hope it starts soon. I hope we get a good full 3 years of that.
There's a lot of polls where even market Republicans go, no, not so much.
She has a lot of negatives, but she's still always number one in the most positives, too, with Republicans. So, I mean, you're right. There's a long way to go before we have to worry about that, but I'm sure she'll do it if she can.
No.
Travis Barker, drummer for Blink-182 and friend of the show, has immortalized his late buddy DJ AM. In Facebook, he talked about this week that he got a new tattoo yesterday. It says, in memory of DJ AM with a little angel praying on it. And he said it's a way to remember his friend, who, of course, survived that plane crash with Travis in 2008 and then died of that drug overdose in August. So,
sad.
Sad story, but nice memory.
Beautiful tattoo. Incredibly ornate. It's a cartoon, did it?
Thank you, Mr. Know-It-All.
And Angelina Jolie, she's naughty. She's naughty. She's naughty bad.
That's what I like to think.
There's a new book out called Brad and Angelina, The True Story. Although how this woman, Jenny Paul, knows the true story, we're not quite sure. But she says when Angelina first hooked up with Brad on the set of Mr. and Mrs. Smith, she was actually sleeping with her first husband, Johnny Miller, and Ralph Fiennes at the time.
Oh.
She had several lovers.
All right.
Before Brad Pitt came along. Apparently, she also slept with Mick Jagger at one point. When she was working on the Rolling Stones video, Anybody Seen My Baby? Despite the fact that Mick was still married to Jerry Hall at the time in 1997.
And look at him.
Yeah, more importantly, look at him.
Yeah.
And the book also claims that Angelina has no plans on stopping the baby brigade anytime soon. She wants a grand total of 13 kids, according to insiders.
Dude.
How many do they have now?
Six, seven, I think.
I think it's only six.
Wow.
Yeah, so.
Brad hears that and goes, my time's limited.
I got there has to be another hot woman out there.
I'll be back in a minute.
Ready for the Smurf movie?
Yes.
No.
Big budget, big screen Smurfs. Smurfs coming to a Cineplex near you. Smurfrific.
Smurf 3D.
Smurftastic. It'll be Smurf 3D. Lisa, you're absolutely right. A live action / animated film. Have a little of both. Featuring the voices of Jonathan Winters as Papa Smurf. Katy Perry as Smurfette.
Okay.
Ooh. It's just her voice, man.
Don't care.
Alan Cumming as Gutsy Smurf.
Gutsy Smurf.
Neil Patrick Harris.
Yes.
Gay Smurf.
And George Lopez.
Oh.
Oh, no.
As Mexican Smurf.
As
Smurfy Gonzalez.
As Smurf. Swim in your jeans Smurf.
No.
Lisa May, I want to smurf you like you've never been smurfed before. And when you smurf, you're going to smurf my name so loud that everybody's going to go, oh, smurf. And then when it's time for me to smurf, I'm going to smurf on your smurfs. And then once you lift my smurf off your smurfs, and then next time you're going to say, oh, I want you to smurf me in the smurf. And then I'll smurf you in the smurf, and you're going to love it, baby.
That's smurfrific. Today's celebrity birthday is Jake Taylor. He is 21 years old today. You may not recognize the name, but you remember him as little Anakin Skywalker. Remember him in that pod race? Oh, remember when Jar Jar Binks was saying,
me like you, Anakin.
F that movie, F it.
Jake Lloyd, right? That was his name, Jake Lloyd.
What did I say?
Taylor.
I said Jake Taylor?
Jake Taylor, yeah.
Oh, that's interesting.
Jake Lloyd, that's the little kid we're talking about.
Oh, I know why I said Jake Taylor, because Nikki Taylor's name is right next to it on the birthday list.
Those are very different people.
She is 53 years old today. Eva Mendes is 35. Kevin Connolly from Entourage turns 36. John Frusciante of the Red Hot Chili Peppers is 40.
Penn Jillette, comedian, magician, is 55 years old, and singer Eddie Grant celebrates his 62nd. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
Don't forget Kevin and Bean's April Foolishness, April 3rd, Gibson Amphitheater, live on stage, Jimmy Kimmel, who we're going to speak with in a minute, Jay Moore, Joe Rogan, Kevin Smith, Aziz Ansari, Sarah Silverman, Jeffrey Ross, Adam Carolla, Bill Burr, and Jimmy Kimmel's house band, Cleto and the Cletones. Tickets go on sale tomorrow at noon. So please get your tickets then. It is 7 minutes after 8 o'clock.
You are listening to the Kevin and Bean Show. That, of course, is Sublime with Rome.
A yes and no.
You can go to kevinandbean.com and you can watch the video performance. That's a song that they did for us live on the show a few weeks back. They are coming to town with two big shows at the fabulous Hollywood Palladium. Check this out, by the way. Who do you want to spend 420 with more than Sublime? Come on. April 20th and April 21st at the Palladium. Both shows on sale today at, you guessed it, 4:20 p.m. We're going to give away some tickets right now, though, to you if you want to play a little game we like to call Omaroki. Yeah.
Omaroki as a singer, Omar's really lame. So we wish you luck because he sucks. If you guess, you win the game.
All right, so we have five pairs of tickets here, so no drawing. If you are able to identify the song that Omar is butchering badly after hearing him sing it, then you will win tickets to go see Sublime. Again, tickets for both shows go on sale today at
4:20. Rome's going to get fired after this. Give me Sublime with Omar. Yeah.
Now, the listeners have a real advantage in that they know it's going to be a Sublime song. They're not trying to pick from among, 100 different artists that the song could be, so they definitely have a leg up in trying to guess what it is. Who's our first contestant? Let's see how they do.
Well, let's start with David. Hello, David.
Hello.
Welcome to Omaroki. Sorry for what you're about to hear. Identify the song.
He finished up and started the car. He turned around and drove back to the bar. He said, "Now, baby, don't be sad. In my opinion, you weren't half bad. She picked up a rock, threw it in the car, hit him in the head, and now she got his scarf."
Date Rape?
Yeah, how do you start with the song we just played?
I forgot we were playing that song.
He said, "Oh, baby, don't be sad."
So it's you're saying it's Sublime what would you
fail?
Hang on.
Take two.
Is this going to be worth it?
Nope. But I'm going to save it for later. I'm going to try it again later. Right. I'm going to try it now. Okay. I've learned my lesson. Okay. Tommy, hi.
Hi. Hi, Lisa May.
Hi, Tommy.
Hi.
All right, here's your song.
When I kiss Maxi, she makes me feel horny, cause I'm the type of lover with a sensitivity. When she kiss my neck and tickle me fancy, the right kind of lover on a Sunday morning.
Yeah, I know.
What's that one called? Tommy?
Yeah! Kiss my neck and tickle me fancy.
All right.
Thank you very much. You've won the tickets. What I've learned about Omar is it doesn't matter what the song is. He sings them all exactly the same.
Yeah, that's true. That is true. Let's go to Jesse. Hi, Jesse.
Hey, how's it going, guys? Hey, Lisa May.
Hello.
Good luck. Here's Sublime with Romar.
Yeah!
All right. Much better. Nice, much
nice,
better.
Nice.
Sorry, go ahead.
Next stop we hit was the music shop. It only took one brick to make the window drop. Finally, we got our own PA. Where do you think I got this guitar that you're hearing today?
All right, that is I know it.
I love this because he's going to kick himself all day because he knows
it. What's the title of that song?
That song had a name.
Yeah. It's
If you were calling us to request it, you would ask for what?
April 29th.
Yes.
1992.
Who would have thought he would have come up with that?
I can't believe he came up with that.
Unbelievable. Yeah. To make that window drop. Usually, and I especially for me, if you know it and it's right there but you can't get it, there's no accessing it.
It's
until
never
later.
Coming back.
Six
exactly.
hours later, right. You start kicking yourself.
3 for 3. This is shocking. All right, who's next?
We have Daniel next. Hi, Daniel.
Hey, how you doing?
Good, thanks.
I'm thinking I'm going to start a new band called Sublomar.
Nicely done.
All right.
Me and my girl, we've got this relationship. I love her so bad, but she treats me like on lockdown like a penitentiary. She spreads her love all over, and when she gets home, there's none left for me.
Have you heard that song?
Totally.
Okay.
I just like it.
Daniel?
That's the easy one.
Yes, it is.
It sure is.
They all are.
That's
a lot of people yelling on the radio right now.
There's a guy in a penitentiary. If that helps.
Sublomar.
It's
There's a guy.
Need an answer.
Romar.
Come on.
We're looking for that.
I'm locked down like a penitentiary.
That's Kevin, I was trying to help you out with doing time. That's what you in the penitentiary, doing time.
Yeah, that could not have been a bigger bigger hint.
All right, one more is all we have time for. Who's the lucky contestant?
This is Jose. Hi, Jose.
Hi, good morning.
All right, here you go.
The only family that she's ever had is her seven horny brothers and a drunk-ass dad. He needed money, so he put her on the street. Everything was going fine till the day she met me.
That would be Wrong Way.
That's correct, yes.
He needed money, so he put her on the street.
As in, Wrong Way to start your day with Omaroki.
How dare you?
You're going to see Sublime. Best. Tickets go on sale this afternoon at 4:20 for two shows, April 20 and 21st at the Palladium. Thanks for playing, you guys.
Sublime! Oh, Omaroki, that's our game, and how much fun we had. Now you know that I didn't lie when I told you he was pretty bad.
.7 K Rock is KROQ, and it is 20 minutes after 8 o'clock.
Mike is very busy. We don't know doing what, but he's very busy, Kevin. Come on. Seriously. You can't expect him to be helping you, too.
Kevin, what are you supposed to do? Everything for you?
Yes, that's how it works. Our friend Jimmy Kimmel puts on one of the best specials every year immediately after the local news, which follows the Academy Awards. It's happening again this weekend on ABC. We'll talk to Jimmy coming up in about 15 minutes right here on The Kevin Amin Show. Now, though, it's Friday. That means it's time for the Movie Beat.
In a world, someone has been watching. One man who risked everything.
Sorry, I have not seen any of your films.
Without seeing the movies. Ralph Garman's Movie Beat. Welcome to my world.
It is Oscar weekend, and yet, oddly, only a few movies coming out this weekend. I guess they figure movie fans will be home watching the Oscars rather than going to the Cineplexes. So there's just a couple films to choose from this weekend. One is coming out in limited release, but it stars my boyfriend John Hamm from Mad Men.
Ah, sure.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, so I might have to go find this wherever it is and watch it over and over and over again. John Hamm plays a small-town police chief in Stolen, who's investigating the uncovered remains of a young boy who was murdered 50 years prior to that. To complicate things, his own son has also disappeared, so the crime from 50 years ago is reflected in his current life. Josh Lucas co-stars the John Hamm in Limited, as I mentioned, in Stolen. It's in limited release. Director is the Anders Anderson of this, and apparently the hype is it's a dark, dark film. You may want to go to the matinee on this one, so when you come out, the sun is shining, so you don't feel too
make
grim
it the night
about yourself. Yeah,
he's a real good actor. I mean, I've seen him a couple other things besides Don Draper on Mad Men also, and he's a very talented actor. I'm excited to see him in something like this.
He was great on 30 Rock, too. He's funny.
Yeah. Funny dude.
Funny guy, too.
One of the better guest hosts of Saturday Night Live that they've had.
Absolutely.
Too. So, Brooklyn's Finest opens this weekend, directed by Antoine Fuqua.
Hi.
The man who brought you Training Day, Antoine Fuqua.
It was a great movie.
The name like Fuqua. You got to use it in the advertising. I remember when Train Day came out and said, brought to you by Antoine Fuqua. I said, who's Antoine Fuqua? Why should I care?
Like that's supposed to mean something to me.
Oh, it's a Fuqua film. I never miss a chance to see Fuqua at work.
That was a good movie, though.
It was good. Richard Gere, Don Cheadle, and Ethan Hawke star in this film. It takes place in Brooklyn, as you can assume by the name Brooklyn's Finest. Three veteran cops, Gere, Hawke, and Cheadle, are struggling with their own personal and professional problems when they get dispatched to a housing project where they each will collide with their destiny. This guy knows how to do a cop movie. Here is Don Cheadle from the film. In this scene, he's being questioned by the Rat Squad, as we used to call them when I was a cop.
You were never a cop.
Internal Affairs. Here's a scene from Brooklyn's Finest.
I heard she's remodeling your house on a cop salary, huh? You know, a whole lot of cash has passed through your hands over the last 2 years.
I stole so much as a nickel since I've been on the job. You ain't got it.
Oh, you do not want me to put a microscope up your... Because if I do, I will keep looking until I find something.
Until you plant something?
Watch that.
Now, you got a case? Bring it. But until that time, step off, dude.
I'm there!
Yeah.
I'm there. I love cop movies. I love Richard Gere. I love Don Cheadle. Ethan Hawke. And it's the return of Wesley Snipes, too. Puts his tax problems behind him and starts acting again, which is about time. So, yeah, this looks like my kind of movie.
I'll see anything Don Cheadle's into.
Yeah, he's amazing. Great.
Well, not anything. But.
Really? I was going to say. Got to challenge you.
He's been in some bad ones.
Alice in Wonderland this weekend, 3D. IMAX in some theaters. Oh, I only go to see if it's 3D IMAX now. It's the only movies I go see. That's what the King of Mexico says. He's already seen this one, though. Alice in Wonderland. Tim Burton brings the story of Alice and the magical world of her friends to the big screen. Johnny Depp, famously now, plays the Mad Hatter. You also have the usual suspects that come from a Tim Burton film reappearing, including his longtime girlfriend, that British chick.
Sure. Helena Bonham Carter.
Yeah, she plays the Red Queen in this. In this story of Alice in Wonderland, this is a melding of the two most famous books, Stuff It Up Your Rabbit Hole and Take a Look in My Glass or something.
Is that accurate?
I'm no big fan of these books. But they put them together, and Alice is 19 years old, and she's returning back to Wonderland in this film, and she runs into the Cheshire Cat and all the usual characters in this film. But she's 19, which means, you know, you can think bad things about Alice, which is good.
Hot, too.
And she is way hot. Yeah. I'm bringing my own 3D to the screen, you know what I'm saying? You know what I'm saying? Yeah. You know what I'm saying?
I don't.
You're walking into
bad.
2D, walking out at 3D, huh?
Alice in Wonderland. Here is a scene where Alice stumbles upon the Mad Hatter having his famous tea party.
It's you.
No, it's not. McTwist brought us the wrong Alice.
It's the wrong Alice.
You're absolutely Alice. I'd know you anywhere.
I'd know him anywhere.
Well, as you can see, we're still having tea. And it's all because I was obliged to kill time waiting for your return. You're terribly late, you know. Naughty.
Time can be funny in dreams.
Yes, yes, of course. But now you're back, you see. And we need to get on to the Frabjous Day.
Frabjous Day!
Yeah, load up on pot before you see this.
I was going to say, being high might help.
It absolutely, I think, will help in this particular case. Tim Burton, though, the perfect director to direct Alice in Wonderland and all the insanity that happens there. However, he did let me down with Charlie and the Chocolate Factory, but I'm thinking this might be more up his alley and in his pipe, if you will.
It's visually amazing no matter what.
But. Absolutely, especially in 3D. I think you're going to enjoy it. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the movie beat.
All that you know is at an end.
That was Ralph Garman's Movie Beat.
I'm just going to suggest, look, do what you want. I don't care. But if I were you, I'd consider buying tickets at noon tomorrow when they go on sale for Kevin and Bean's second annual April Foolishness. Proceeds again this year for terrific local charities, Boarding for Breast Cancer and Camp Laurel. Gibson Amphitheater, Saturday, April the 3rd. It's a phenomenal lineup, including Jay Moore. Also, Joe Rogan, Aziz Ansari, Sarah Silverman, Jeffrey Ross, Kevin Smith, Atta Carolla, Bill Murr, Jimmy Kimmel Live's house band, Cleto and the Cleetones. And oh, yes! Jimmy Kimmel, the host of that show himself, he will be there live and in person. Tickets go on sale tomorrow at 12 o'clock, high noon. Jimmy Kimmel joins us on the phone right now on the Kevin and Bean Show. Hey, James, how are you, man?
By the way, you know it's a K-Rock event when tickets go on sale at noon.
It's
not 8 a.m. tickets go on sale.
Right. Yeah. And by the way,
you guys got in early, it's noon.
Noon is early.
Yeah, you're right. Usually, we should make it about 5 p.m.
Our listeners are going to have to set their alarms as it is in order to get up and buy these tickets, Jimmy. Yeah. I wanted to start with mentioning the April Foolishness because Jimmy was one of the guys who was there first for us last year, really got the ball rolling on making that such a spectacular event. We ended up raising hundreds of thousands of dollars for charity. It was great. And Jimmy, I'm so grateful to you that you've agreed to come back and be with us on April 3rd, too. I think it's going to be a lot of fun that night, too.
Oh, it's for charity again this year?
Yeah.
I thought we were splitting it up.
I thought you were getting paid now.
Here's how we use... Wow. I didn't... Yeah. Wow, what night is that?
You need to reconsider? April 3rd, it's a Saturday night.
You can make it. You've already committed, you will be there.
That was one of your pranks that you're so beloved.
No, Jim.
Oh, so that really is like a charity thing.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Here's how we use Jimmy. Last year we found out Jimmy was on, so then we went to the comedians and we said, hey, Jimmy Kimmel's doing it. And then there you go, oh, okay, yeah, all right. Because he's holding. He's holding, they all know.
Yeah, I'm going to have to call you
about
that.
Look, you sent us a letter that was signed and all that.
Yeah, I know. But I signed it with my left hand.
I see. Okay.
All right. The reason Jimmy is on today is he has a huge weekend of entertainment planned. In fact, you're the hardest working man in show business now because you're not only doing your late night show, but now they got you working weekends. You've got a big Oscar special after the late local news on Sunday following the Academy Awards. This is how many years in a row you've been doing this, Jim?
This is the fifth annual, so I guess like eight.
Yeah, that's right.
Okay. Yeah.
And it's very very top secret. A lot of stuff under wraps that I know you can't talk about. But what can you say about Sunday night?
You know, we do. We position things as secrets when the truth is we're not completely prepared yet. So it's a great way to do it. It's like, we're hoping to get this done. But let's just say we got a big surprise for everyone. But this time, it's almost upon us, and we actually do have...
You
know, we did the Ben Affleck video after the Oscars, and so there's a lot of pressure to do something big.
Sure.
I think we have something good. I think we have something big. And if not, what are you going to do?
You've kind of painted yourself into a corner with that. I mean, you did that Tracy Morgan song, which was awesome.
Oh, yeah.
Impregnated.
Well, Tracy seems to be on a mission to impregnate as many women as we can, so we thought we might give him an anthem to go along with.
That was sweet, and I've never seen you in a grill, and that was sweet. Dreads, I mean, that was all good.
By the way, I kept swallowing gold teeth throughout that.
That video, by the way, you can find it at kevinandbean.com. It's in our internet roundup section. We had Tracy Morgan on the show with us last week, and he told us that you guys did that whole video, costume syncing, lip syncing, extras, dancing, everything, all in about 2 hours, which is unbelievable to me.
Yeah, well, we were originally going to do it in 11 hours, but Tracy was 9 hours late.
Jimmy, throughout the years, you have sung with a lot of people on your specials and on your TV show. I mean, I remember you duetting with Mike Tyson, and you must not be able to believe some of the situations you find yourself in when you're singing with a guy like Tracy Morgan wearing that outfit.
Well, as you know, I have a beautiful voice, and I like to share it with others.
That's the best part.
I'm kind of like, you remember Sinatra's duets album?
Sure.
Where all the famous singers jumped in with him. In this situation, I am Sinatra. Just my instead of Bono and Pavarotti, I have Tracy Morgan and Mike Tyson.
Well, basically, everybody comes to your show, and they go, we must sing with you, because that's the hip thing to do, right?
Well, no, I say to them, you must sing with me.
I see. You demand it. Okay.
I'm trying to integrate myself into the African-American community.
How's that working out for you?
It's working out really well, actually.
Do you have the N-word pass?
No. You know what? I don't have it yet.
You don't have that.
I'm hoping by Christmas.
Okay, good luck.
Hey, speaking of famous African-American singers, have you ever gotten to sing with your all-time idol, Neil Diamond?
Yeah, I sang with Neil Diamond. You didn't see that?
Really?
I'm surprised.
Wow.
I did. Well, you know, my plan for retirement is to become a Neil Diamond impersonator named Neil Zirconium.
Absolutely.
But,
all right.
Back
to the Oscars special Sunday night. Sting is going to be on the show.
Gay.
Are you singing with him?
I'm sorry. Did you say gay?
He's gay. Did you know that?
No.
No,
he's like
not.
The most heterosexual.
He's gay.
He's the most heterosexual man ever.
Sting is on the show, yes.
Yeah.
No, Sting is not gay. But Sting actually is, I was just talking about this, he's very funny in this thing, and he's really funny, Sting.
I would not have predicted.
Yeah, no, he really is. He's very well. You'll see, he's very good. Right. And we have this thing where we bring. It's kind of like the Justice League, for lack of a better analogy, where I bring together the most handsome men in all of Hollywood, and of course, I am their leader.
Of course,
right?
Because Sting is one of them. And
you're not wearing anything tight, are you? Because
well, I will for you, but no, not in this. Not in this. But, you know,
Matthew McConaughey, he's been revealed, right?
What's that?
McConaughey, he's been revealed. That word has slipped out.
He will be in there unless you just trick me into admitting that. Yes, he will. Matthew McConaughey is a part of this. We got a lot of good names in there. I think people will be delighted.
All right.
Jimmy, do you care about the Oscars? Is this a show that you would watch?
No, I only care about myself, you know. Of course I do. You know, it's fun. I like watching this stuff. I especially like when I watch it for the wrong reasons. I mean, I like to see somebody make an idiot out of themselves.
Sure.
Hopefully somebody's drunk. And, you know, we've never had a vomit during an acceptance speech. That would be nice.
Oh. Yeah, that would be nice. You're right. We do need that.
So I look for that sort of thing.
Some kind of just...
There may be some vomiting if Monique shows up again with those hairy-ass legs.
Oh, yeah, that is...
Good point.
Wasn't that great?
And by the way, have you seen all the talk? It's been everywhere lately. I guess she made this. She made the admission a few months ago, but for some reason this week it's come back big that she's got an open marriage with her man, too. Have you seen that, Jimmy?
Yeah, I think that's... You know, that is just, I don't see how anyone finds that attractive.
Right.
That is just, it's horrific. I mean, it reminds me of you having sex with your animals, Bean.
Wow.
Oh, that's not even, that's a low. Wow. I can't,
Well, here's the thing is that her husband, I'm sure, says, you want to get taken care of outside the family, go ahead. And then he thinks, who's going to want her?
Right.
Yeah, there's a lot going on there.
That's quite a deal. That's a good over relationship.
Come on now.
Run free, whatever you want to do.
All right. Jimmy Kimmel Live Oscar special. First, you got the Academy Awards, and then you got your local news, and then you got Jimmy's special. And it's going to be this Sunday night, Sting, Matthew McConaughey, Ben Affleck, Jennifer Garner, Jimmy Kimmel. Lots of surprises that cannot be revealed. I'm sure is going to be awesome. We're going to have highlights of that special for you right here on Monday's Kevin and Bean Show. But you won't need those because you will have tuned in to see it. And Jimmy, if we don't talk to you before then, we're psyched about you making the date on Saturday, April 3rd. We're really looking forward to it. Thanks again for doing that. We really appreciate it.
Let's rethink that charity thing, though, huh?
It's already been decided. It's a
just
done
think
deal.
About it. I'm not saying you have to. Just think about it. That's all.
All right. Jimmy all right. Kimmel, thanks.
Take bye care. Now.
Only the best band in the world right there. 106.7. K-Rock is K-R-O-Q, and it is 8:51.
I agree with Kevin. The Rage Against the Machine, way better than the Beatles. Way better than Led Zeppelin and the Rolling Stones.
By far. Absolutely. I'm glad we're finally on the same page.
Hey, Ralph Garman is here with another look at the Showbiz Beat for a Friday. What the hell is going on, Argar?
Yeah, it's funny. I mentioned this week that the Gilligan's Island TV series that we all know and love, it's been in syndication for, I don't know, 40 years or something now, is getting the big screen, big budget version. They're going to do a movie based on that. And I'm getting a ton of emails, maybe something to play once in a while, take some phone calls from people regarding casting some of these remakes.
Well,
it would be
idea.
Right for these iconic roles that we've all sort of grown up with over the years. And Gilligan's Island, I would have to think, is one of those touchstone shows that you just couldn't have been a kid anywhere in the world without having seen that in the reruns growing up, right?
Right. Mm-hmm.
This comes from listener Jose, who says, I heard you talking about the characters from Gilligan's Island being on the big screen. Here is some of my fantasy list of actresses I'd like to see that would make this movie worth watching. Right. Christina Hendricks as Ginger.
Oh.
Great.
The redhead
great
from Mad Men.
She was the movie star hot chick on the island, right?
Ginger was. Ginger Grant, the movie star, the redheaded movie star on the island, used to wear just evening gowns all the time for some reason.
That's all she had, man.
Why played by the beautiful but reclusive King Louise.
Evening gowns for a 3-hour tour. Why do you have a year's worth of evening gowns in your pack in your bag?
I don't know, dude.
You don't know.
I don't.
Megan Fox or Rachel Nichols as Marianne? No?
Great,
you're shaking
great
your head.
Choices.
No.
What
are you talking about?
They're too sexy. Marianne was the girl next door.
Right. Yeah.
Put her hair
in pigtails. That's all.
Especially is a terrible choice.
What? No! Just put her hair in pigtails and put her in some jean shorts and a plaid shirt.
No, my boner likes that choice, but I don't think it's...
There's no reason to not sex it up. You're on the big screen.
Minka Kelly would be a better choice.
Yeah. Because she's less attractive.
So you're looking for a little more down on the farm is what you're talking about.
Yeah. That's what Marianne was.
A little more wholesome. Yeah.
Take it easy.
She was like from Iowa or something,
much about Marianne.
Right?
She was from Kansas.
Kansas, right.
Fool. Who makes that kind of mistake? Morgan Fairchild as Mrs. Thurston Howe as Lovey Howell.
That's funny.
Wrong. All right.
She's pretty hot old broad.
Yep.
Sure.
Lovey was not hot.
No.
We could use a hot Lovey. That'd be strong.
I found her attractive.
Of course.
Yeah. See?
Yeah, look,
gotta ruin everything.
I know.
I can't even talk anymore.
Finish the story.
No, moving on.
Don't let Ralph ruin it.
Have you heard? The internet has been on fire about Michael Cera being the lead to play Gilligan, being the guy that the producers really want to play Gilligan. Have you heard anything about that?
Perfect choice.
Perfect choice.
I think so too. I think he'd be a good Gilligan as well.
And the skipper.
Skipper.
It's gotta
John
be
Goodman.
John
Goodman is the only option.
I was thinking of Andy Richter.
I was thinking of Brian Dennehy.
He's too old. Denny is a good choice, but he was too old.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Richter?
No, Richter doesn't have the presence. The
John
physical
Goodman.
Presence. Doesn't have the skipper's got to be the leader of men. He's got to be intimidating. Wesley
Jack
Snipes.
How about Jack Black?
Yeah. No, Jack Black again. He's a Gilligan type. He's a buffoon. He's a goof.
Yeah.
Need someone with presence.
A little gravitas for the skipper, you're saying.
All right.
Doc?
Daniel Radcliffe says don't hold your breath, waiting for him to come out of the closet. Because he's not gay. Apparently, Daniel Radcliffe, Harry Potter, is being besieged with gay rumors.
Is that right? I haven't
heard any either, but apparently he said it's been a problem.
Probably because of Equus.
Because he showed his dillywhacker on stage?
That play he did.
He was nude.
Yeah.
With a horse.
Yeah.
That's how Bean got all his gay rumors.
Exactly how queer are you?
That's how the Bean rumors got started?
When he was naked with his horse. Remember
that?
Yeah,
that's true.
MTV says, Daniel told MTV that he has been plagued with gay rumors for some time, but he says, although there's nothing wrong with that, he is straight. And he said his favorite internet rumor was when someone accused him of having a gay face.
What?
They said he was gay because he had a gay face.
How does that work?
It doesn't work. That's okay. Why it's his favorite rumor. He thought it was hilarious. Someone just said he had a gay face.
Maybe they meant like pretty boy kind of thing.
There's a lot of pretty guys.
I guess.
Look, I've never been accused of being gay. And look how pretty I am.
Well, that's true, right?
Everyone is just who they are. And who they are is just stone cold gay.
That's right.
Good point.
Richard Gere's got that new movie, Brooklyn's Finest, coming out this weekend. Apparently he's got a bromance with Don Cheadle.
Oh, really?
He says Cheadle's a genius, one of the best actors he's ever worked with, and one of the nicest guys he's ever been around.
Everyone is just who they are, and is just stone cold gay.
You know, Gere said he never started out to be an actor. He kind of fell into it.
Yeah.
He said he knew he wanted to do something creative with his life, but never dreamed of being an actor, and when he started working, it was completely by surprise early in his career. Well, it makes a lot of actors feel very good. Very good about themselves this morning.
People labored their whole life to get into that business.
That's right. We're still knocking on the doors, and they can't get in. And Sean Penn has some special words for our buddy Kevin. As you know, Kevin believes Sean Penn is a fake, is a liar, is a fraud when it comes to his relief efforts in Haiti.
I don't. I just, something bugs me about it, and I can't put my finger on it.
He was seen lifting cement cinder blocks off of a woman and her daughter recently, and Kevin thinks he should be put to death because of
that's
that.
That's not true.
That's what
Kevin thought he should sit on the other side of the road and smoke and laugh at the people as they suffocated rather than go and lift a hand to try to save lives. That's I'm paraphrasing, but that's essentially what he said.
That's a paraphrase.
So anyway, apparently Kevin's not alone because this was brought up by a CBS reporter who was talking to Sean Penn. He's back in Los Angeles because he had a fundraiser for the Haitian relief effort. And someone asked him about the blowback that happened when he was reportedly seen in Haiti actually doing some heavy lifting. The reporter asked him about that, and he said, I've been away from it all, so I haven't had an awful lot of time to pay attention to them, meaning these people. But he said, do I hope that those people die screaming of rectal cancer? Yeah.
Huh, why does Sean Penn have a PR problem sometimes with people?
Why does he get along with people?
You can't just die from rectal cancer,
no,
you have to scream?
Die screaming of rectal cancer, all yeah. Right. You know, but I'm not going to spend a lot of energy on it, he said.
He seems so even-tempered.
Yeah. So... apparently, that's his answer to Kevin.
All right.
He wants you to die screaming of rectal cancer.
All right. In a cage match, Kevin versus Sean Penn. I got to think Sean Penn wins, don't you?
You mean a fight?
Yeah.
Please.
I got to be honest. I think Sean Penn kicks your ass, dude.
Does Penn put out a cigarette? Or is he still smoking during the fight? That makes a difference to me. And has Kevin had granola bars the night before, or is he abstained? That's all I need to know.
Mike, you secretly match everybody up in your head when you think about it. What do you think about those two?
I think Sean Penn's a really angry dude. And
if he channels that hate, I think you'd be hard-pressed to get him down.
I mean, I think if it was just like a wacky celebrity fight, it's anyone's game. But if for some reason Sean Penn was mad at Kevin, I think it's no contest. Because he's an angry, rage.
You guys are crazy.
Come on, Kevin.
You think you could take him, Kevin?
20 seconds.
Plus, you'd be screaming with rectal cancer, so you wouldn't even be able to fight.
That wouldn't be fun.
Today's celebrity birthdays, actor Jake Lloyd is 21 years old today. Someone sent me a recent video clip of Jake Lloyd talking about his Star Wars experience.
He's how old
about
now?
How miserable he is. 21 years old. He said, all through high school and college, he said, it's nothing like drunk guys just screaming Anakin at you. He said, it's been a nightmare.
Good times.
Where's Jar Jar?
Poor bastard.
Where's Jar Jar? He probably regrets having done the movie. Like, his life would have been better if he hadn't.
Model Nikki Taylor is 35 years old today. Actress Eva Mendes is also 35. Kevin Connolly of Entourage is 36. Guitarist John Frusciante, formerly of the Red Hot Chili Peppers, is 40 years old today. Comedian, magician, Penn Jillette is 55. You guys watch BS on any kind of regular basis
over
there
on
Showtime?
Show. Yes.
Always entertaining and often educational, that show.
And I find that everything they disprove, I believed originally. Like, they bring up a topic and I go, yes, I know the facts on that.
Yeah.
And then at the end I go, so wrong.
Yes.
Couldn't be more wrong.
Organic food isn't any better for me than regular food. Imagine that. And singer Eddie Grant turned 62 years old today. So we've been rocking down to Electric Avenue all morning.
Electric Avenue. And then
we'll take it. This song will get you to move your ass, won't it? Come on.
We're gonna rock down to Electric Avenue. And then we'll take it higher.
Oh, man. Oh, Eddie. Just makes me long for him and Billy Ocean. In a minivan, just driving across country together, three of us.
That's a terrible idea.
That's a dream I had once.
Okay.
I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
You're listening to the Kevin and Bean Show on a Friday. Speaking of Nirvana, by the way, we didn't even bring this up with Courtney Love. She brought it up to us, but she told us that she and Kurt both were against Smells Like Teen Spirit being the first single released from the Nevermind album back when that was out from Nirvana. She said they all wanted In Bloom, and they got talked into Smells Like Teen Spirit, and the rest, of course, is history. It was a fascinating interview with Courtney. I didn't understand most of what she was trying to say to us, but you can check out the whole thing at kevinbean.com. It is on the website.
I love her for so many reasons. The first one that I love the most is that everyone has that sensor between what they think and then what comes out of their mouth. And a lot of times there's a big change between what you think and what you say. With her, there's no filter.
None.
She thinks it and it comes out of her mouth and it's awesome.
But, and I know this isn't what we're talking about here, but I just have to ask, if you had the opportunity to take a cross-country road trip with Courtney Love, would you do it?
Kevin,
really?
Oh, yeah.
I would bury her in a shallow grave before I got to Riverside.
I know. She would wear you out. I know.
You'd have to take a nap every hour.
Sure. Yeah. I mean, you'd have to build a nap time. But I find her fascinating. I could talk to her all day because you don't stay on the same topic for more than 8 seconds, which for me,
well, that is true.
Which for me is perfect.
She is the human chat roulette. You are right about that. That's true. All right. Let's turn our attention to today. It is Friday on the Kevin and Bean Show, and that means Adam Carolla is generally here with the Week in Rage. Adam is a very, very busy man. He was a guest on Bill Maher's show on HBO last week. He was a guest on the first Leno show back at 11:30. No time for Kevin and Bean today, but we are going to turn his feature over to you. We had great success with this last week because everyone has those things that drive them crazy. Adam has turned it into a career when we do the Week in Rage. He talks about all the things that he sees and observes and has happened to him throughout the week that just ruin his whole day.
Yeah, and last week we were a little worried. I got to be honest. We thought, well, let's try it. Let's take some calls and see how it goes. And we all had that sense of foreboding, which is that it's going to blow and we'll never try it again. Worked out really well.
We had some funny calls.
So we're going to take your calls again today, this Week in Rage, 1-800-520-1067. And I'd like to start off by telling one of my pet peeves, and that is, you can avoid commercials everywhere except for online. How has somebody not figured out a way to skip those commercials when you're streaming video?
That's a good point.
You can't get past them. There's no way to fast forward. Yeah. And I know that the clients and the TV networks and everybody, they're desperate to be able to show you commercials because that's how they make money. But there's got to be a dude somewhere that's smart
that's
enough.
Got a program.
Right, somehow.
Why haven't they cracked that code?
Right. Huh? Can't they crack every code?
I would think so.
Get into the Pentagon.
Not that one.
You know?
can't avoid those commercials. You have to watch the whole thing.
But isn't the bigger picture, though, Kevin, you either have to pay for content online or you have to accept some commercials?
Sure, there's a huge downside to not having those commercials. But I'm saying, hasn't anyone figured it out? I'm not a fan of looking at the big picture. I'm not good at that.
I understand. You want to know how it affects you in that moment.
It might be disastrous, and it might make all the costs go up and everything else. I get that, but I don't like to think about that stuff. I want to think, how can I avoid what I want to avoid? That's
all right. Before we go to your calls at 1-800-520-1067, David King of Mexico posted on the Facebook page, the Kevin and Bean Facebook page, that we were going to be doing the Week in Rage, and we got a couple of good ones in there today. For instance, Leah writes in, I'd like to rage about people who park right next to you when the whole rest of the effing parking lot is empty.
Yeah.
What's up with that? There's like 500 spaces. You have to drive to the back where I'm parked and park next to me. I can barely open my door or I have to squeeze out of my car between yours and mine. What's the deal? That's a legitimate question,
sure.
I guess. I mean, it does seem like the most people will try to park and keep as much space between them and the next car as possible, but there are some people who don't do that. Here's one I don't get from another Facebook listener. Why are people still donating to Haiti? What's up with that?
What?
I don't know that
they're not really all okay yet.
That's one of those things where, well, literally most of the time something like that comes along, catches our attention. Everybody does what they can. And by now,
and we move on.
By now, we moved on to something else. It was so disastrous there, and it's still so bad that it really has remained. Stop licking cream,
sorry.
Lisa. She's putting a finger in a thing and licking cream.
Yeah,
literally.
What's
right
happening?
In front of us. How am I trying to talk
I'm talking
to
about Haiti. What are you doing?
We're trying to do a show here, for God's sake.
You're licking cream.
No, go ahead.
I'm saying whatever about Haiti. I forget now.
All right. Let's squeeze in a couple of calls, and then we'll come back with more at 1-800-520-1067. Justin is on line 3. He's exactly the type of thing that we're talking about here for the Week in Rage. Hi, Justin. Welcome to the show. What do you got?
Okay, you know how Jack in the Box usually has the two drive-through order screens? One's got, like, the menu,
right,
and the other one actually has a speaker.
Right.
Well, it's been that way for years.
Mm-hmm.
And those people pull up there and stop at that first screen and sit there for 5 minutes.
Right. So they're looking at the menu, but they're not pulled up to the speaker.
Right. Right. Yeah. And you sit there and honk at them. They start flipping you off like you're the bad guy, like you're the idiot. Well, no, lady. You're the idiot. We need to put, you know, a big old sign on it says, this is not the order window. Please pull forward.
Aren't they trying to decide what they want to order before they go to the order window?
It's Jack in the Box. It's not a gourmet restaurant.
A good point.
You know what you want before you get there.
I think
what Justin is saying, Lisa, is the people pull up, they see that menu, and then they also think they order there, so they just sit rather than pull forward to where the microphone is. I think that's right. The complaint,
that's
right,
what
Justin?
He thinks. Yeah. What
and
I'm
you just,
saying
you
is,
honk.
Yeah, no,
they're
Justin.
Trying to decide.
Justin, here's
okay,
how
I'm honking at Lisa. Then, right?
Yeah, you should be. It should look. It should never. Ever take more than 30 seconds to decide what you want to order from a Jack in the Box menu, period.
Exactly.
Wow. All right. Angry man.
Thank you for the call. My answer to that is you just push them forward. Touch bumpers. Touch bumpers and just shove them forward.
One more, and then we'll come back with yours at 1-800-520-1067. Line 7, please. This is going to be Jeff talking about the Week in Rage. You are filling in for Adam Carolla. Jeff, what do you got?
Well, I'm just saying, in California, you got the California stop, right?
Yeah, the rolling stop, or you slow down at a stop sign, but that's good enough.
Well, if you want to follow the rules, the person behind you honks. If you actually stop at the stop
sign. Oh, I see.
Really?
So you come up to a stop sign and stop, and that annoys the person behind you because they want to keep rolling.
Oh, yeah. I go through a lot of stop signs on my day to work.
I think you're right. I think that more people roll through stop signs than stop for stop signs. I think you are in the minority if you are trying to follow the law. And the sad part of that is you can get a ticket for that if a cop sees you.
Yeah, trying to follow the rules, but the person behind me is just flipping me off.
I love that Jeff gets all nervous when he sees a stop sign. What do I do? Is there someone behind me? Oh, I've got to stop, but there's someone behind me.
All right, good call. Excellent point. 1-800-520-1067. It's your Week in Rage next, right after this on the Kevin and Bean.
What's happening? What's happening? 106.7 K-Rock is KROQ. It's 9:25.
Sure, listening to the Kevin and Bean Show, we are filling in for Adam Carolla of the Week in Rage. My rage is when I'm listening to the radio and a song ends, and then no guy comes on. What's that about?
The King of Mexico in the other room, that song just ended and I had no idea. And the King of Mexico in the other room has a speaker and he put his finger on it and he's like, and go.
All right, we're going to get right back to your calls at 1-800-520-1067. First, though, producer Alex is here. What do you got?
Hello.
Hang on. First, let's play this.
It's time for This Week
in Rage.
All right, now.
Get it on. All right. The dude and I were at a restaurant, and the dude gets upset if I order something that he wants to eat. He says we can't ever order the same thing.
Oh, not that.
That ruins him.
He's like, I was going to get
the pulled pork sandwich.
This is ridiculous.
And it personally offends him. I'm like, so why don't you order it? If you want the pulled pork, get it, baby. Make your Saturday great. He's like, no, I can't. You've ordered it.
So he orders something, and then you order something else that he also wanted?
No, I might order the same thing, and then he gets mad and goes, we can't both eat the same thing. Well, I'm like, why?
That does make sense.
So he will change his order, or he'll ask me to change my order.
Alex, are you new on this planet? That's always been restaurant policy.
No.
Always.
This is your stupid boy rule.
No.
Is it
no.
Yes. Yeah, it's got to be a stupid boy rule, and you guys got to stop it. I'm allowed to eat what I want to eat.
Why don't you start following the rules instead of coloring outside the lines? Look, you're wrong on this. He can't, as a man, he can't order the exact same thing that you've already ordered. He has to get something different. You're C-blocking him. Come on.
Because I'm C-blocking him from a pulled pork sandwich.
Yes,
really?
You are.
You guys don't understand
get out of here.
Anything.
You disgust me. Get out of here. All right. Let's try Scott. Scott is on line 8. Call on the Kevin and Bean Show. We don't have much time, but we do have room for your rage if you want to get in on it. Scott, what's going on?
How you doing, guys?
Hi.
Somebody needs to put a stop to this Charles Barkley and Taco Bell commercial. I'm getting sick to my stomach with it.
I love A, Taco Bell, and B, Charles Barkley, and I could not be more with you.
Yeah, don't like them together.
Somebody to contact that advertising group and fire them because I love Taco Bell too, but it's making me want to boycott
them. I know. Listen, I'm with you.
Now,
Charles Barkley is the best basketball announcer ever, and yet I want those commercials to stop. I'm with you. Thank you for the call.
Thanks a lot. Let's try Leonard. Leonard is on line 3, calling the Kevin and Bean Show. You are Adam Carolla. Leonard, welcome to the show. What's going on?
Not much, man. How you doing, Lisa?
Hi, good.
Hey, I'm tired of, I'm a typical Southern California driver. I'm tired of hauling butt everywhere I go. And when I see what seems to be a cop car, I get close enough, and it's just one of these people that buy these cars at an auction.
Right.
They're still black and white. They still got the spotlight.
Right.
And by now, I've got the fear in me already, so it just pretty much ruins my day. You know what I mean?
So cars that look like cop cars but aren't.
Yeah, yeah. People buy these cars at auctions, I guess. And
I got you.
Still got the same color.
And then you have to slow down, Kevin.
Listen, that's his point. You have to slow down for a guy that you don't need to slow down for. Exactly. I can understand how outrageous that is.
But then, how good does it feel to blow by them once you realize they can't pull you over?
Not very good. All right. Not very good. Like I said, I've already got the fear in me, so it ruins my day.
So then you need a bathroom.
All right. Thank you, Leonard. Ryan writes in, I can't stand the people that have the stickers on the back of their cars of how many people they have in their family. I mean, who cares? And then you get the people that include their dogs and their cats and their fish. And even worse, how about the nerds who think they're being edgy and everything when they use the Apple logo or skulls to make the illustration of how many people they have in their family? What's up with that, says Ryan.
Yeah.
A lot of people, a lot of the rage seems to come from being out on the road, too, by the way. It seems like almost anything that you see behind the wheel of a car seems to upset
that
some people.
And restaurants. Let's go to George. Another restaurant problem. Hi, George.
Hey, how you doing?
Good.
Hey, my problem is, why can't women make up their freaking mind about what the hell they want to eat? You know what I mean?
Oh, that's like, easy. Hey. I have the answer to that.
Yes, Lisa.
Okay.
I really want that, but it'll make me fat. I should eat that. But I really want that, but it'll make me fat. I should eat that. That's what goes on in our mind.
And that just keeps going on? You
yes.
Know?
Yes, until okay, one side wins
you're
out.
You're in an endless hook?
Yes.
Okay, well, here's my thing. I asked my wife, okay, what do you feel like eating?
All right, either close the door or get out of the car or do something.
Here's what
dude.
Annoys me. People who leave their car running and they open their door and it dings.
Right. Well...
yeah. Okay. Bye. Thank you. Thanks for your input.
I feel sorry for George's wife.
Did you hear what he said? Yeah. Okay. Yeah.
Let's close with Michelle. She is on line 4 on the Kevin and Bean Show. Hi, Michelle. You get the final word on the week in rage. Go ahead.
Hi, guys. What an honor. I just wanted to end on another driving note.
All right.
It drives me absolutely mad when it's hardly even drizzling outside and people have their windshield wipers on at full speed.
Really? That drives you crazy.
Okay, but that how does that affect you at all, though, Michelle? How do you care?
I don't know why I care. It just, I can't look at them, if it's going so fast.
You just want to yell, it's not raining that hard yet?
Oh.
It's hardly even drizzling, and they're, like, super fast. I don't know. It's nothing to do with me. I cannot stand them.
That's odd.
I will tell you, the only thing that I have in my – the one thing that comes to mind that I have in my life that's similar to that, Michelle, is the people who, when it's 60 degrees out, are wearing coats and mittens. Those people drive me crazy, too, because I feel like, it's not cold. What are you doing? But again, it doesn't – it shouldn't affect me at all. It's the same thing with your windshield wiper friend. It doesn't really affect you at all.
I know. It's got nothing to do with anything in my life.
I am going
to
drive home with my windshield wipers on today. And it's sunny. Just in case you're in the neighborhood, I want to drive you crazy. Thank you for the call, Michelle. Bye now.
You are listening to the Kevin and Bean Show on a Friday. Don't go away because we're going to sing Don't Bogart coming up to officially end the week. Right now, though, Ralph joins us for a final look at the showbiz beat. What's going on, Ralph?
Well, Sean Penn has a few choice words for our man, Kevin.
Oh, interesting.
Yeah. About time Sean Penn started talking back at Kevin. Sean was back in Los Angeles. He had a fundraiser Monday for Haiti Relief. Stars like Barbara Streisand, Jack Nicholson, Salma Hayek, Matthew McConaughey, and President Bill Clinton were in attendance.
Wow. Now, are you against that also, Kevin, that he's doing a fundraiser to raise money? Is that an appropriate use of his celebrity or no?
Of course, that's fine. You guys know.
Kevin's all for that.
He just can't go and actually help while he's in Haiti. There was a CBS interviewer who asked Sean while I was in town this week about those who say that his relief efforts in Haiti, especially his hands-on efforts, are just a cynical ploy to raise his profile and get publicity. Kevin? Sean Penn responded, I guess I've been away from it all in our tent camp in Haiti, and I guess I haven't had an awful lot of time to pay attention to these people. He said, but do I hope that these people die screaming of rectal cancer? Yeah.
Did he say that?
Yes, he said that.
Wow.
So that's what he has for you, Kevin.
All right.
Screaming rectal cancer. And I hope you enjoy that in your future.
That's an awesome band name.
Band, yeah.
Screaming rectal cancer?
Yeah.
Linda Lohan! In the news, apparently she has relocated to London, as she's been threatening for some time now. And she's found new people to party with.
Great.
British tabloid The Sun has photos of her partying with Boy George at a local nightclub.
Oh, no.
My God.
Yeah, girl Lindsay and Boy George hanging out, just being bad influences on each other. So just a matter of time before George Michael joins the threesome and they all pass out behind a car in the middle of traffic in London, I'm sure. Another hostile celebrity in the news, Khloe Kardashian.
Uh-oh.
Says she's a little protective of husband Lamar Odom. By the way, have you seen the Kardashians since Khloe married Lamar?
Mm-mm.
If you watch the Kardashian show on E, he pops up from time to time because he is her husband. And I find it endlessly entertaining that they have to subtitle Lamar when he speaks on the show.
Oh, that's great.
Yeah, he does mumble a bit.
They actually run subtitles
that's
underneath
fantastic.
His stuff as if he's speaking another language. It's magic.
That show is so crazy. I don't watch it either. That show is so unbelievably popular. You know, the season finale of The Kardashians a couple weeks ago was the highest rated show in the history of E! Entertainment Television.
There you go.
Wow. So I did not know that.
I do watch because, well.
Kim.
And the family's just a train wreck that's almost hard to avert your eyes from. But this Scott Disick, this baby mama, baby daddy of Courtney, is the biggest dick on the planet.
He really
he is an unrelenting douchebag.
Good man.
It's almost like a character. It's like if you hired Spencer Pratt to play a douchebag.
Yeah.
If you turned up the amp. I mean, we give Spencer a hard time on the show, but Disick crushes him in douchebaggery. It's fantastic. Anyway, Khloe says about Lamar Odom that she tries to be an easygoing person, understand that her husband has fans, but if a gal has nerve to disrespect her and get too close to Lamar, she would have no problem beating their ass.
Yes!
She said. And she could do it. And she could easily do it.
She could.
It's just a heads up for you ladies who are thinking about making a move on Lamar Odom.
Ladies or men, you want his autograph? She'll beat you down.
That would be ill-advised. And John Cusack's got a new girlfriend. According to Life and Style magazine, Cusack is going out with Baywatch former star, and she was also on Melrose Place last season, Brooke Burns.
Oh, yeah.
Good
call. Attaboy.
Nice work, John Cusack.
He's never been married, has he?
No, he's not. He has been.
I was just thinking, you don't hear much about his romantic life at all.
Mm-hmm. Oh, he
does okay.
Is he a player?
He's a legendary swordsman. Yeah, he does a good job.
I hear fantastic things about Hot Tub Time Machine from those who have seen it early.
Oh, I can't wait.
It looks so great.
Looks funny.
Can't wait.
Well, Craig Wilson's in it, Lisa.
I know, one of your favorites. I love Craig Wilson.
Craig Wilson!
And My Chemical Romance is looking for a new drummer. Guitarist Frank Iero wrote on his blog that Bob Breyer, former drummer of the band, left the band about a month ago. Frank didn't give a reason for Bob's departure, but he says the rest of the group wishes him well in his future endeavors. However, they are looking for a new drummer, so...
Ralph?
See you guys. Sorry. Duty calls, you know.
You're going to break up Melfond to go with My Chemical Romance?
Look, Melfond's been struggling now for some time. A lot of infighting in Melfond.
We're taking a break. That's all. We're just taking a break. It's
what
best we? If
we
get some room in there.
What we?
Excuse me. I'm their theremin player.
I've never heard it once.
Nor have I.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. You have to actually had played in an instrument in order to be in the band.
I'm saving it for our live performance.
They've all been live performances so far, by the way.
We haven't recorded.
We have never recorded one.
Those are rehearsals. The stuff we do on the air is just rehearsals. I'm telling you, when we do our first paid gig, you know, that's when I'm going to bring up the thing.
When you're going to show up when there's money?
That's right. Absolutely. I'm a busy man.
Today's celebrity birthdays. Magician, comedian Penn Jillette celebrates his 55th birthday. Singer John Frusciante of the Red Hot Chili Peppers celebrates his 40th birthday. Happy birthday! Rome of Sublime, is 40 years old today. Actor Kevin Connolly from Entourage turns 36. Actress Eva Mendes is 35 years old, as is supermodel Nikki Taylor.
Oh.
Ooh. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
Thank you, Ralph. Don't forget, tickets go on sale today at noon. I'm sorry, not today at noon. Tomorrow at noon. Okay. You want to handle this, Bean?
Kevin and Bean's second annual April Foolishness is happening Saturday, April 3rd at the Gibson Amphitheater. Tomorrow at noon is when tickets go on sale. It's an all-star night of comedy with some great local charities who I'd like to let's try to get them on before the show. But Boarding for Breast Cancer does phenomenal work. Camp Laurel, same deal. So the proceeds are for a good cause. And all of our comedian friends are donating their time to come out that night. It's so much fun. Jimmy Kimmel, Jay Moore, Joe Rogan, Aziz Ansari, Sarah Silverman, Jeffrey Ross, Adam Carolla, Bill Burr, Kevin Smith, Jimmy Kimmel Live's house band, for my opinion, the best late late night band on television. Cleto and the Cletones will be there as well. It's going to be great. There's no other comedy event in the country that brings this level of talent together on one stage on one night. And it's all for charity. Don't miss these tickets. It will sell out tomorrow at noon, tomorrow at noon.
Monday, an all-new Kevin and Bean show. We have highlights of the Oscars, of course. Yeah. We have Bryan Cranston on the program.
Nice.
I don't know if you watch Breaking Bad, but that is a great show.
It's very intense.
Maybe he'll bring us some meth. Wouldn't that be cool? Yeah. Harvey Levin from TMZ.com. I believe we're going to have an argument over ordering food. The rules.
Oh, you mean we're going to continue?
The rules.
The conversation the way we had with Alex went on for many minutes after we got off the air. How crazy is it that she still doesn't know how to behave as an adult in a restaurant? You don't order what somebody else has already ordered at the table. That's just a fact.
That's science.
Oh, you hate. Oh, so now you hate science, Lisa. Is that what's going on here? Oh, man coexisted with the dinosaurs. Right. Good job.
And a new feature called People Who Are Better Than Us, which will have a lot of people to choose from. So anyway, that is all on Monday morning's all-new Kevin and Bean Show.
Let's sing that song that we all love so much, by the way. This makes it the weekend, right? It's not the weekend until you hear this one.
Right.
Do not bogart that joint, my friend. Pass it over to me.
Well, that is a sucker punch to the gonads.
Don't bogart that joint, my friend. Pass it over to me.
I love that story. Don't you love that story?
Roll another one.
You know what? I love bananas.
Just like the other one.
I love that girl.
This one seems to be about to quit.
I don't think you've heard the news.
Another
yeah, it's funny. Normally I have something to play in this part.
Yeah, and it's we'll laugh.
Yeah.
Phil's about 10 seconds.
Yeah. You gotta start coming to the meetings.
Would have been better.
Roll another one.
Blackfeet.
Just like the other one.
I kind of love you.
This one seems to be about to end.
How do the ladies resist that rap here?
I don't have another cent.
And the always enjoyable giant inflatable beaver.
I can't even believe that song is real.
This is the worst advice I've ever had in my life.
I think you're an idiot.
But don't hold on that joint, my friend.
Sandy.
Dolphin.
All right, we're done. Good to go. Good to go.
You can kiss my black ass goodbye.
I'm Mark Thompson. Assalamu alaikum.
Before we leave tonight, we'd like to say a special thanks. We don't have much time to thank everybody, and especially to our friends in the music business and to our wonderful friends here and all of you out there for your great loyalty. This is not goodbye. It's just good night, and we'll see you soon. Thank you.
Well, that was one of the worst experiences of my life.
That was cool. Peace.